please don't take this person out. Would you politely go to hell? Get the fuck out of my way, cause it's been one of those days.
This is platinum. This is the class.
We're talking Ferris wheels.
You've got a sassy walk.
Right. Hang on.
Put a collar on for the Lord.
Was there talk of going full Phantom?
I doubt it.
I am also laughing at that.
Everybody gave Daddy what he needed. Mad at all.
Live on tape, it's the fastest hour in podcasting. This is Never Not Funny. Now, here's your host, Jimmy Pardo.
Hello, everybody. Indeed, welcome to the program, episode 36D of the award-winning podcast, Never Not Funny. We welcome you in. Strap it down. You're going to be here a while. I don't know if that's true. Maybe it'll be tight. Elliot's not here today. Maybe it'll be a tight show without him rattling on and on about that lady friend of his.
Well, he was...
Everything's Irma.
He was feeling under the weather Monday and didn't talk much, and it still was a 2 hours 35 minutes.
Yeah, well, you had your long story about your broken collarbone. I had my long story about the fantasy baseball draft, and I had the long story about jury duty.
Yeah.
So there were three. One of mine should have kept till today.
Yeah, we were back from a break.
We also were back from a break.
So.
Yeah, Elliot was wearing a mask on the last show and was not feeling well, and I was hopeful that he would feel better today. But our great friend Joseph Limbaugh is here filling in for him. We love when Joseph's here. And in fact, this is what I'm going to say. I would love if we kept Elliot on to do all of the executive duties that he does for Never Not Funny, and Joseph replaced him as the on-air presence. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be great? Say yes. I'm doing a bit.
Yeah, man.
Right? Wouldn't that be great? Or you know what? Or maybe we get so many new subscribers over the new year that we then get two camera people. And I'm not diminishing what Elliot does as a camera person, but like we then like Elliot then can be focused on something, you know. Then have Joseph on in another cubicle, and he's our sound guy. He's our sound drop guy.
Yeah. Well, technically, I guess I could be the sound guy.
No, you can't be.
But, yeah.
No.
Don't want to be.
Yeah, I don't think that's on you. I think Elliot does a nice job on that. We would hand it off to Garen, but Garen almost dropped water on the way over. So that can't be. That's not fair. Garen, that's not fair. You went and got water. You did a great job, little guy.
Thank you.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. I don't hear it often.
I would have gotten myself an egg course. Garen's able to lift all that water and the beverages that I asked him to get at once. I would not have been able to do that. It would have been several trips.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I went to Amoeba Records yesterday to, you know, I'm always conflicted. I've talked about this before on the show. I'm conflicted. I had a ton of vinyl and a lot of CDs, and I'm always conflicted. Do I go to Amoeba? Where I'm anonymous, nobody knows who I am. You know, I don't know what new junkies working behind the counter, and then you mill about in a sea of people. Or do I and get maybe less than I would have if I went to my local store that I think would appreciate the inventory more, but I don't like them knowing that I'm doing it.
Okay,
and I don't necessarily know why. It's my own weird thing.
They know who you are.
They know who I am.
And so you think they're going to go, I guess times are hard.
I feel like I'm Chuck Negron of Three Dog Night selling my gold record.
Yeah.
And it's like, times are tough. Oh, he's getting rid of his, you know. So I also happen to be near Amoeba. So it was like, I'll take advantage of that. I will say this, if you're a tourist, the new Amoeba does not compare to the old Amoeba. The old Amoeba had a vibe to it. And the new Amoeba seems like... they just jammed a bunch of stuff in a store that doesn't have the same energy at all.
It doesn't
at all.
It's smaller, right?
It's smaller,
and it feels cramped every time I'm there. Maybe because I've only been there. I think I've only been there on the weekends, but
it's cramped. I was there yesterday at 2 p.m,
and it was packed.
That's the problem. It's not even packed, and it's cramped.
Okay, well, so because the last time I was there, it was a Saturday, and it was uncomfortable. You couldn't get down the aisles. You had to wait.
And the aisles are narrow because it's cramped. They do have that, you walk up maybe six steps. They have that little, almost like a loft. and full of books that I'm guessing never sell. I would lose those books. Let's move some of the collectibles up there. Let's make some space.
Yeah,
I'm going to talk to Dr. Amoeba. He is a doctor. So I happen to be in that area. I did Andy Richter's Sirius XM call-in show yesterday, and which was great fun.
Cool.
And then I zipped over there. I've got my this all came up because of carrying stuff. Here's what I decided. I decided I will go to Amoeba. If I can find a parking spot right in front, I will do it. And if I can't, I'll just keep driving and I will suck it up. Again, my own issues. I will suck it up and go to my local place. And there was a spot right in front.
Oh, wow.
Which I then went, oh, there must be nobody in there. Clown car. Open up the, you know, yeah. They're just all in there. And so I carried two of the boxes in, which was problematic, even though it wasn't all that far, but they were heavy. I then had to wait 30 minutes to get my turn to sell.
Wow.
And then, I'm sorry, 20 minutes. I then said to the guy, hey, I got more out in the car, but I wanted to give this to you. And he goes, great. And I said, and there happened to be a dolly there. And I said, hey, can I use that? And he goes, okay. As if it was, well, if I'm not using it, it's going to just sit there.
Yeah.
What's it for if it's not... Why is it near the seller's counter if it's not for...
Seems like that's what it's there for.
Yeah. It didn't have Alonzo's name on it, so maybe Alonzo would be upset if he came in.
Oh, this guy was thinking more about Alonzo.
Yeah.
Like Alonzo doesn't like people touching his hand truck.
Well, then Alonzo shouldn't put it there.
Yeah.
But I will tell you this. Zipping that little dolly out to my car, putting the boxes on there, and zipping it back... honest to God, saved me 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, just, it was nothing.
And it saved your labrum from further damage.
It did. It did. I did fuck up my back. I fucked up my back when I got home by taking what they didn't want out of my car. And so it took an hour and 10 minutes for him to go through my things.
Wow.
In these days of you can buy whatever you want on the, I want the John Miles album from 1985. I go on eBay and I buy that. I no longer have to go, oh, when I'm at I'm going to make a list. And when I'm at Amoeba, I'll get it there or I'll look for it. So I don't have anything to look for.
Yeah.
So I had to mill around for an hour and 10 minutes while all the time thinking, as they announce, Tom, your tail's right. And then you go, did he say Tom or Jim? What did he just say? You know, Mary, come back to the sales center. Mary. Well, that could sound like Jimmy. And then,
I thought it was Barry.
Was that me again? No, right. All of it's horrible. It's all horrible. And so, you never know. Like, it's like, oh, you know, maybe I'll just walk around the block. What if I walk around the block? That's when they call my name.
Right.
And they have zero patience and they're not friendly.
Yeah, there's no understanding as to the situation.
Where were you? Well, I walked around the block because I couldn't look at your fucking racks anymore.
Yeah,
and eventually he calls me up. He was my guy. Actually, happened to be a pretty nice guy. I did see the other guy. I talked to other people, like they're the dumbest people alive. Mm-hmm. It's just unfair the way they talk to me. Like you're a junkie behind the counter at Amoeba. The only way I know that you work here is they put an Amoeba sticker on your shirt, and now you're talking down to me because I brought in my CDs.
Yeah.
Anyway, my guy was nice. Here's what they didn't take. I'll tell you exactly. They didn't take any comedy albums.
Huh.
I had a lot of classic comedy albums that I was like, you know what? I've collected these since childhood. I don't really have a need for. I love them. I don't need to listen to The Button Down Mind of Bob Newhart again. I've listened to it enough in my lifetime. I don't need to listen to Jackie Mason's first album. I'm just not going to be in the office going, I'm going to pop on Rodney Dangerfield's No Respect. You know what I mean? I'm just not. I've listened to them enough. I love them. They were nice to have for a while. They just kept making the move from LPs, they're in the backup in the closet, and then eventually they made it to the garage. And then when they're out there, it's time to let them go.
Let's just for a second talk about the fundamental difference between listening to music and listening to comedy. As a guy who runs a comedy record label, when you put music on, you can do stuff. But when you put a comedy, I mean, there's certain things you can do when you're listening to comedy, but there's a lot of things you can't do when you're listening to comedy because you're listening to the words of it to or if you're not, then what are you doing, right?
You're listening. As a kid, I would listen. I'm going to put on Bob Newhart.
Yeah.
And I would sit on my, just like the right. cliche, I would sit on my bed, and even though it's not a rock album, I would still look at the cover.
Yeah.
And
pretend you're at the in the yeah. in the show.
You know, Steve Martin's Let's Get Small, so yeah. on and so forth. Anyway, they did not want any of those.
Right.
Which is okay. In my opinion, that's okay, because that's the reality is those are better for a Goodwill.
Mm-hmm.
Because people love finding an old comedy album at a Goodwill. Those are the people that want it there.
Yeah.
And you know what? Get it for 50 cents instead of the $7 they're going to charge an amoeba.
Yeah.
They also didn't take, and I am not exaggerating any way, shape, or form, any CD made in the 90s, any band that had a CD in the 90s that I or Danielle had, we still have them.
Uh-huh.
They took zero of them. Name a band from the 90s.
Hootie and the Blowfish.
They didn't take it. Give me another one.
Hoobastank.
We never had it.
I should tell you Cheryl this. Crow.
Mostly Danielle's.
Okay.
Because Danielle, you know, had... okay. So, no, we still have all the Weezers. They took no Weezer.
Okay, no Weezer. How about...
Offspring, no. We still got it.
That was Green Day.
Still got it.
I'm trying to think what else she likes.
Silverchair.
What?
Soundgarden?
I don't think there's any Soundgarden. There's Stone Temple Pilots.
Nirvana?
Nirvana, no. No, didn't take it.
Wow.
Didn't take it to even put it in the dollar bin.
I don't know what... I don't have a handle on the, like, CD thing. I gather that they have regained a little bit of popularity from the very low point of no one caring about them.
Yeah.
But they're not at the level of vinyl, obviously.
You're going to amoeba for vinyl.
Yeah.
You'd think... But then when you look at this new layout, CDs still take up more space than vinyl. Vinyl's still cramped into the front of the store in four rows, and then vinyl takes up six rows in the back. I just was amazed, because I was looking at Danielle's CDs, and I'm like, well, my stuff is all shit. And I admit that it's all, you know, secondary classic rock shit that nobody knows but me and maybe Pat Francis. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or our listener Jim Hankey and, you know... And the other gym from Milwaukee, but I saw Danielle's CDs. And like I literally was like a cartoon dollar signs coming, you know, bouncing off my eyes.
Yeah.
And then when he goes, "All right, I'm not going to take those," and I look at him like they're literally all of Danielle's 90s CDs. No doubt.
Yeah.
You know, just no interest.
They just probably have too many.
No doubt.
They have too many.
Those are all like, huge bands.
Everybody has already taken them.
That's true. My wife only likes the huge bands.
She's mid.
I don't know what that means.
Is that what you're saying?
I don't know what that means. I understand what it means, but I've never heard it.
I'm quoting you.
Mid?
That's what was in your mind. I was just picking. I don't think that, but you think that.
No, I don't know what it means.
Mediocre. Middle. Oh, middling.
No,
basic.
I've never heard that. Stop. I mean this. Stop hanging out with your daughter. you're too old to be using these phrases. Hey, what's going on, kids? What do you think of Daryl? You think he's mid? And then they go, oh, fucking, here comes Zoe's dad.
I feel like mid is pretty mainstream at this point, but maybe I'm wrong.
I can tell
Joseph, you don't have kids. You know mid?
You're throwing off the vibe, Matt.
Okay.
That's a no.
I know mid, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you?
Do you use it?
No, I don't use that.
Okay.
No.
Why don't you? Because you're a man of a certain age?
It's weirdly insulting in a way that it seems kind of misogynistic, I guess. I feel.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
I thought Elliot was an asshole.
I guess I owe everyone an apology.
Jesus Christ, you misogyny.
Entire gender, it sounds like.
I wouldn't have thought that in a million years, but here comes Joseph with his fucking woke bullshit. His agenda coming into our room today.
And a little racist.
What?
No, it's not racist. Incels use it a lot.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Oh, do they?
I think so, yeah.
Well, that's Matt. So you nailed it. That makes sense.
I really just think it's... I just thought it was something teenagers said.
Well, now I'm told that the Proud Boys use it.
Yeah.
Well, good luck to them. And as a reminder, though, to the Proud Boys, I'm going to ask them to please stand back and stand by. Mm-hmm. We got something big brewing. We got something big going. We're going to counter protest those Tesla protests.
Oh wow!
Yeah, we're heading over there. We don't want electric cars, but we
can. You add me the signal chain about this because I want to be in on it.
I'll have a guy do it. I'll have a guy.
Yeah, thanks.
Attach you to that, and then we'll deny it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll tell you this. At the end of the day, the guy took an hour and 10 minutes. I had a number in my head. They're going to offer me blank. I don't want to reveal.
Okay.
They're going to offer me blank credit, blank cash, and they were $75 higher than that.
Oh, good.
And I was So I said to the gentleman, hey, what if I because I did want to buy a couple things, things that I would never buy.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm basically getting them for free, and I recognize I'm not. But
yeah,
I said, you know what? What if you gave me this in credit and then gave me this in cash? And he goes, yeah, I could do that. As if I was the first person ever asked that. There's no way I'm the first person ever
asked
that.
Right, to split the I want to use some this way, some that way.
And it worked out very well. I went home with a little change in my pocket going jing-a-ling-a-ling, and I got three new pieces of vinyl that I'm happy to get.
So the Georgia Satellites is one.
I got Georgia Satellites. I finally found it on vinyl, and it's fantastic. It's on green vinyl, which is it's green for money. Change.
Was that ever? I guess it probably was on vinyl because it was right at the tail.
Oh, originally. Yeah, originally.
Yeah. But I know you don't want to reveal the monetary amount, but my bigger question was how many units did you unload? And how many did you walk in with, and how many did you unload?
Let's say I walked in with 100 albums.
Mm-hmm.
I went home with 15.
Oh, that's a win.
That's a win. They took 85.
Great.
Because they were, I'll say this, the vinyl is great because what I'm doing is I had great vinyl that I then replaced with the remastered.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have great quality vinyl left over, but I replaced them with the quote unquote remasters and so on and so forth. Yeah. So I thought they'd take the comedy albums. I was surprised that they took none of that.
You know who might take that? That's just crossed my mind when you were saying it. And maybe not because it's a small store. But in Burbank, Run Out Groove is on Magnolia. It's kind of a newer place. And I think the woman who co-owns it used to work at Largo.
Yeah, we talked about it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. They might be interested.
I'm real good just bringing it to the Goodwill near my house.
Well, there's a Goodwill right down the street from that. So if you fail,
I'm not going to Burbank.
Well, if you're in the neighborhood, Jimmy, you got doctor appointments.
You know what? I do go to Burbank from time to time. I'm not there again until the summer.
Okay.
I think they'll melt in my car by then.
Yeah, don't leave them in the car.
And then with the CDs, I probably had I'd say 150. And I went home with
149.
160.
Probably 70. You know what? They could have easily, but hey, we're not going to take these. I'm like, I don't remember ever owning that out.
Like, let's just put them in the box, see if he doesn't notice.
And I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. I did not realize, by the way, that I did. This was not intentional. I had some CDRs in there as well. And the guy's got to just look at that and go, what is attention must be paid master?
Yeah, what are you doing?
That, and that what that was the music for my one-man show.
Yeah.
But somehow that got in there.
That's worth a fortune.
They don't know that. They're fucking dumb.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, they're full of junk.
You guys didn't know this was the last one-man show to be performed before 9/11?
It was. I went right up until that first thing. Hey, so anyway, it was a successful trip to Amoeba.
Cool.
But the point was, I was happy to use the dolly because I couldn't lift anything. And I thank Garen for going to get the water today and picking up my monster drinks in addition to getting the water.
Yeah.
That was my long-winded story. Joseph, sir. I didn't mean to tell the water story. I know that can be misogynistic and homophobic as well, Joseph, in your whatever fucking bubble you're in. Hey, I've been meaning to say this, and this is in association with TeePublic and our Dashery store, which is linked on our website.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a giveaway. And here's what we've worked out with the TeePublic /Dashery people. If you are a new follower to us on Blue Sky, and we will make a note of the new folks, you know, Garen will say this is who was here prior and then here's who's after. We're giving away three T-shirts to from our TeePublic site. You get to pick what design and what size you want. You only email me at fanclub@jimmypar.com once I announce the names. And you get a free T-shirt from our Dashery store. Any of the designs, of the color selection, the whole way TeePublic works, you get to pick it. And we'll give away three of those for new Blue Sky followers.
Mm-hmm.
One will go to a previous Blue Sky follower. We don't like to dismiss those folks.
Yeah, they were in early. Good for them.
And then one will go to new followers of Jimmy Pardo on Blue Sky.
Okay.
So one for Jimmy Pardo, three for Never Not Funny new followers. And it's a way, and it was TeePublic's idea, a way to get more, because Blue Sky is still building.
Yeah.
A way to get new followers over on Blue Sky, in addition to letting them know about the hot new designs over there at at the tpublic.com/dashery site. So head over there. Head over to Blue Sky first and start following both places, Jimmy Pardo and Never Not Funny.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll be in the running to get one of five shirts. We're giving away five shirts.
And here's a special bonus. If you follow me on Blue Sky, you get the pleasure of never being bothered by posts because I don't use it. So that's a nice clean timeline for you.
That is, Elliot, you know what Elliot does from time to time is I'm going to paraphrase this, but it's actually kind of fun. And I say this, I don't say this is going to sound like I'm kicking him in the balls and I'm not.
Yeah.
He says, for every like I get on this post or whatever, how many likes I get on this, I will tell you something I like in the world or something along those lines. Mm. And I think that's a great idea. Yeah. I think that's fun.
It's fun.
I don't think he has enough followers or interests for that to be
well,
fun,
but you can't do it if you have too many because it would take you would just be drowning. And like it only works if you have a small following.
You make a great point. But I think that's fun. I think that it's fun. It's a good way to engage.
Totally.
He will also, though, then go off on a rant about what's happening in our world that I'm guessing it gets just a quick. All right, we'll keep moving.
Yeah.
Because they're and this will surprise nobody. They're a little too long. And I feel that way not only about Elliot's post, but even the political pundits that I follow. If their post is a little too long. I kind of just want bullet points, man.
Is there a limit, a text limit or character limit? Is it 240? What is it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, well, our boy Elliot uses every one of them.
And then starts threading.
And then it threads, and then, you got the next thing you know, all I'm doing, I put down War and Peace, and I'm reading Elliot's fucking Blue Sky. You know what I mean?
Yeah. 300 character limit.
I'm 300, not cha-cha? Okay. That's Dennis Miller. Yeah. Suspiciously quiet during these troubled times.
Hmm.
Or is he running his mouth every day? And I don't know because I'm not in those circles. But you never see him pop up on Charlie Kirk or, any of those.
He seems like a guy
places.
Who was kind of like he was like ready to be done maybe a long time ago, but was like, I don't know, felt the need to continue working. And then when the MAGA stuff happened, maybe he was just like, I think I'll take my toys and go home.
I'd like to think that he was a. What they think is a positive. He was a Reagan conservative,
mm-hmm.
didn't like liked being conservative, was set in his ways, and then MAGA was too much for him. That's what I would like to think, so that I could still like the White Album or whatever the fuck that thing was called, the Off White Album. So I could still enjoy that.
Yeah.
Which again I still own because they refused to take it yesterday.
That is a great album.
That is a great album. But again, are you ever going home and putting that on to listen to it? Maybe on a drive.
You could listen to it and on your phone. That's fine.
I would say I think it would be that. I think that and No Respect and George Carlin's A Place for My Stuff are the three comedy albums I played the most in my life. No. Steve Martin's Let's Get Small. Certainly by it's that. And then a drop off to Carlin. Mm-hmm. It's A Place for My Stuff. Dennis Miller's Off White and Dangerfield, No Respect. That would be the next three. I think I could play those like, hey, Oliver, we have an hour drive. Let's listen to this Dennis Miller album and we would love it.
Yeah.
And Oliver would go, holy shit, who is this guy? These are amazing jokes. And I go, well, get ready. He then went fucking nuts.
Yeah.
And then, I'd like to hear some of George Carlin's older, newer stuff. You don't. Let's just live in the 60s and 70s and 80s with George.
I finally finished all those SNL auxiliary stuff and there was that one about the season 11 the weird year and that was Dennis Miller's first year, so they talked a little bit about him. And I mean, maybe I was a kid, so maybe I misunderstood, but I always he made fun of Reagan a lot, and I always assumed he was liberal because he just
was very liberal.
Yeah So like, it wasn't even that he was a Reagan conservative, he was like absolutely on the other side, and then 9/11 fucked him up,
right?
And
right.
He got all scared, and
I'm only using the comparison of Reagan conservative because he didn't go.
Yeah.
He didn't really go bananas. He just kind of changed.
Yeah, and that was at the time I thought was upsetting when he flipped over in the 2000s. But it's nothing compared to what is happening now. Like, it seems quaint in comparison.
Well, I've told it many times in this program. When I opened for him in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, it was like the show that he decided to announce that was what was happening. And he, I did my thing. Yeah. And, I opened for him and did comedy. Mm-hmm. And then he went up, and which I couldn't wait to watch.
Yeah.
And I would love that I was opening for Dennis Miller. And he it was also, it was during the 1993. I'm sorry. Yeah, 1993. That's when it happened, actually. It wasn't 9/11.
Oh, really?
It was 1993, the World Series. The Blue Jays were in the World Series. Mm-hmm. And I was there with Jennifer One. And he asked if, hey, I'm going to just go back and watch the World Series. You guys want to come with me? And I did not, because I was, quite frankly, a little intimidated. Mm-hmm. But it was on. It was that night. It was that. It was there. It was Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh like kind of brought him into.
Wow.
And he on that stage. That, and then the review in the paper was just what happened to Dennis Miller.
Huh.
And that's the famous line. Jimmy Pardo opened the show with a more conventional style of comedy. That was the. That was.
Jeez. Oh man.
Yeah.
I've misunderstood that. Because it.
No, he went nuts after 9/11.
Because I watched his HBO show pre 9/11 and enjoyed it. You know, I don't know, maybe he just at that point in time wasn't being as public with his politics on the air as much, but it was still a political show. I think, I mean, it was more, I don't know,
it was political in the way that John Oliver's political, where it's like,
yeah,
although John Oliver is very outspoken, but sure. But you know, it just hitting the headlines, making jokes.
Yeah,
he wasn't, he might have had Mike Huckabee on, but you didn't think, like, yeah, you didn't get mad at him the way you get mad at Bill Maher when he welcomes a fucking whack job on.
Yeah.
Like, if Bill Maher had Huckabee on now, you'd go, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Or Bill Maher going to the White House last week? Is that something that I read? People are upset about that.
I saw, and we don't need to go, was talking about SNL heroes with where we don't know where they stand anymore. I saw a clip of Dana Carvey on Bill Maher, and he was like, he was launching into his impression of Robert Kennedy Jr. And he said, I mean, look, the guy's got some good ideas, but, you know, he's got the voice thing. And I was like, hold on. What now?
Does he say, let me ask you a question. We don't know that. You're not him.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm throwing this to the world. Does he say that so that he doesn't get
or yeah, he's just trying
added.
To, he's trying to walk the tightrope.
Because nobody really says that unless they fucking think it.
Or was he saying it for humor even? I don't even know. Like,
right.
But I know because of his age, and I don't know, there was just a lot. It made me clench up a little bit, but it was a good impression.
He's from the Bay Area, right? Is he originally from the Bay Area?
I believe he grew up there. Yeah. Maybe north,
I would
like Marin County.
That will be a disappointment. Garth, I can see. But the Dana himself,
I think he's, I don't know. I can't speculate on.
Meanwhile, Mike Myers is out there, you know, with the,
yeah, the Canada flag
and pro Canada and go,
sure,
fuck yourself,
why
Trump.
Wouldn't he be? I mean, I'm really curious to, I just started reading Lorne Michaels' biography, which is fantastic, the one that came out recently, and I'm very interested to see as these tariffs kick in and as we go down this fucking road we are apparently going down with Canada. How, because Lorne Michaels is, for 50 years, he's been adamant that SNL does not pick sides. It makes fun of both sides. And he's, even the book opens with a scene where he has to reprimand I think it was around 2019 or, I'm sorry, no, it was, let's see, it was the midterms. It doesn't matter. Basically, what had just happened was Cicely Strong was still in the cast and Kate McKinnon. It was that era. And a couple of, oh, and Leslie Jones. And a couple of cast members were not happy about the fact that they were making fun of Dianne Feinstein. Like, Cicely Strong had to do an impression of Dianne Feinstein, and she didn't really like, she's like, felt weird. It's like, in this Trump era, this is the first Trump term, like, in this Trump era, do we want to, like, I feel gross making fun of the people who I very strongly support, and I don't want to, like, be on the wrong side of history and all that stuff. And, you know, Lorne is just very matter-of-factly, like, they need to understand that, you know, we're not taking sides and blah, blah, blah. But now it's like his home country is
being attacked.
Possibly, I mean, I know it sounds hyperbolic, but it's possible that the United States of America is about to invade his home country to take it over by force. Is he going to fucking sit back and be like, well, we just can't take sides?
No, he's not. There's no way. He can't.
I don't know.
He can't.
I just don't know.
To preserve comedy?
I don't. I mean, he, my take is he is extremely out of touch because he's very, very wealthy. He lives in a bubble within a bubble.
Yes, he does.
Because living in New York City, living in Manhattan is a bubble on its own. But then being a multimillionaire celebrity in Manhattan is like the ultimate bubble. And not that I wouldn't love to be in that bubble. Who wouldn't want to live in that bubble?
No, please.
Fantastic.
Please invite me into that bubble.
Yeah, if you fucking...
What's it like in there?
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
What's the air feel like in that
day,
bubble?
One day in that bubble would be amazing. But yeah, I just don't... And that's the thing that... And I know we put too much emphasis because we watch it and we care about it. And it has meant something to us in our lives, the show SNL, the institution of SNL. So we have an outsized impression of what the impact it actually has. Most people don't fucking pay attention to it. And the world goes on and no one really cares what SNL is doing. But they approach it like, hey, we are important and what we do matters. Lauren certainly thinks it matters. And so in as much as that says something about his character, it's a little bit, you know, it's going to be a little bit. I mean, it's already very disappointing that they had Trump on as a host more than once. And
well, look, let's be fair. The first time was with The Apprentice.
Yeah, he's a clown.
While everybody knew he was an asshole, we didn't know he was an evil. I did not know he was evil.
Right.
I just thought he was an asshole who was kind of funny and entertaining when he would pop up on Letterman or on Stern and then let him be a clown in SNL.
Yeah.
And I liked The Apprentice and Celebrity Apprentice until I didn't.
Yeah.
Until I was like, oh, this guy's a fucking asshole. Mm-hmm. And then I was out. But when he had him on, during 2015 early 2016, then I fuck off. Yes, Joseph.
No, I'm just agreeing with you.
Oh, I see. All right, very good. Joseph, and you don't know this. Whenever Elliot looks directly at me, it means he wants to do a monologue. So I assume that but you making eye contact with me was not just you being a professional human being doing your job and listening. I assume that just meant, please stop talking so that I could jump in and tell you something about how Irma and I had ice cream. I would make these jokes, by the way, if Elliot was here. I'm not I am not kicking my friend in the balls. We love Elliot and we love Irma. And I don't know Irma enough to love her. I like her very much. That's fair to say.
I know. Do you think... This is something I've never asked, but does Elliot watch the entire episode back when he's not?
Yes.
I would assume he does too, but I don't know.
Of course he does. Or he does some sort of one of his softwares will find his name and it just jumps to every time his name is said. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about you today because, again, I got an email from Hyundai. Saying buy your car now.
Yeah.
I would with this 25% thing going on April 2nd. I would go over there and right hand test drive a car, man.
Or just have Elise and I could maybe go, and she can do the.
But I would do it. I would get in there.
I know. Yeah, it's got to happen.
Jesus Christ! Our guest has been here for 9 minutes outside.
Oh no!
Oh my goodness sakes! Let me text her back and say I apologize for. And then she probably tried to call, too, and I didn't recognize the number. Damn it. That's on me. Garen, please get out there quickly. Garen. Garen, apologize for me. Jesus Christ. That's an embarrassment.
That's bad. What's going on? The box is completely non-functional at this point?
Did you use the box to get in?
No, I let him in.
Oh, you were here.
Yeah. Well, he also texted me, and I didn't see it for 4 minutes. And then had to go, oh, shit, Joseph. Because I was, you know... Whatever.
So the
shuffling
box,
around.
I would love for them to, and I recognize the fact that we have the greatest rent in the world here, and we're not going to find better rent. And I'm guessing so does the agency across the hall, and so does the production company. We all have great rent. So to say what I'm about to say maybe is unfair because we don't pay enough.
Right.
I would love for her to rip that box out and replace it with a 2025 version, which is basically like an iPad on a thing now.
Yeah.
And
I could say never not funny.
And then you just press that and then you're good to go because that thing is antiquated. And
in the meantime, what we can do and probably should do is change the email language to say, hey, the box is a disaster, but trust that if you press the numbers, the three numbers we're about to tell you, if you press those three numbers and that's all you do, it will ring us and we will buzz you in.
We'll have to do that. What are the three numbers?
Oh, I didn't want to say it publicly, but I'll say it. 104.
They'll know that. I mean, they know it's 104 because if they want to mail us something.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't know why I was being coy about it, but those are the numbers.
Here's the
light should flash on your desk.
What's that?
A light should flash.
When they're here.
Oh.
Right?
Well, it goes to my phone.
We do have a system where it lights up in his pocket.
Yeah.
Or buzzes, and it did not do that. So something's up with the box. When we say box, we're talking about puss.
Hey.
Hey, come on. All right. Well, that's Rashawn Nadine Scott. She's out there. It sucks that it's a first time guest, too, had to feel like, why won't this guy pick up his phone? I was told to call him if there was any troubles.
We've made a bad first impression for sure.
Yeah. I hope. And then sending Garen out's not going to fucking help.
No, that's going to make it worse.
Good Lord.
All right, now I got to talk to this sloth.
I know. Oh, hey, I'm Garen. My arms are sore from carrying water. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is this fair that I'm kicking both of my friends in the balls today?
I love them both. I don't know.
I love them both.
Should I leave the room so you can mess with me?
I do that when I get
mess
home.
With me.
I do that. I wait for Oliver to get home. I go, guess what this asshole did today? And then I'll go, let me guess, Dad. And then because he already knows it's the same place. Garen, I made fun of you while you were gone, so know that. B, did you smooth things over? It's a horrible first impression. She's okay?
Yeah.
I feel horribly.
I feel like Tyler's our backup. Did Tyler let her in?
Yeah, but this is also not his responsibility.
It's not.
And I feel badly when he does have to let people in.
But he does do it a lot.
He also likes it, I think.
I think he likes
it. Gets a nice charge out of it.
Seconds before you discovered that, I was about to get up and go check and see if she was, because they're usually here by 11 or whatever.
You haven't had initiative once in your life. What are you talking about?
Well,
you
were going to get up and do it. I had the initiative to take
to think
initiative.
About it.
Yeah.
Hey, if something doesn't happen.
If we don't hear something the next, whatever.
Well, Garen, while you were gone, I mentioned that your arms are hurting from carrying that water. So you okay?
Yeah, he took you down hard.
Yeah, you know, it's just a little bit of workout. It does a lot of good.
Did you wear a tank top on the walk today or just a t-shirt?
No, just this. Just a shirt.
Oh, you didn't? Yeah, it's not hot enough.
No.
Remember, it was supposed to be 85 degrees for the first half of the week and then cold the rest of the half. And that 85 lasted one day.
I love it. This is my favorite. This is the weather I want.
I
want a little sun, but I love this when it's been hot. Like, it's great to walk out and go, oh, it's just overcast and just
I
walk
like the overcast. The overcast depresses me. I like a crisp air with the sun.
Yeah, this well you can't
sunny crisp day.
I can't go too long without the sun because I'm so used to it. It starts to affect my mood if I don't have it. But this just a couple of days of it, perfect. I love this.
Yeah.
Do we need to do this before the guest comes in?
Feels like we got to take a break.
Well, maybe we should try them in the break.
No. We're going to do it on the air. We have to get everybody's reaction.
I'll introduce it and then.
But we'll see if she. We'll see if she wants to participate.
Yeah,
I'm going to offer it up. That's what we're going to do.
Right.
All right, we'll be back right after this.
Hey, gang, Matt here with some dates for you. Rashawn Nadine Scott is on Instagram at Rashawn Scott. That's where to find all of her stuff. There's a link tree there. You can find out what she's got going on. I don't think any live shows on the books at the moment, but I bet you can catch her doing improv and just keep track of her on social media so you know where and when that's happening. Jimmy Pardo is doing some stand-up. That's first and foremost at Flappers in Burbank in the Yoohoo Room on April 12th. He's at Zany's in Rosemont, the Chicagoland area, on April 16th. He's at the Comedy Attic in Bloomington, Indiana, on April 17th, and the Jukebox in Peoria, Illinois, on April 18th. And then in May, he's going to the Bug in Denver on the May 7th, Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase on May 8th, Hashtag Comedy Theater in Columbus, Ohio, May 9th, and then end of May, he's going to be in Texas and Salt Lake City. Go to jimmypardo.com and click the show's link for all his dates and deets. And then finally, I want to remind you to check us out on Blue Sky. If you follow us on Blue Sky, you could win a t-shirt from TeePublic, one of our t-shirts. So check out our TeePublic by going to our website and clicking the store link. But also, go to Blue Sky, follow Never Not Funny, and we will choose one of you to, actually three of you, to win a shirt. And then one of the existing followers will win a shirt. And then follow at Jimmy Pardo there, and one of you will also win a t-shirt. So do all that and enjoy.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the program. 36E is the, I wrote down 36D. Maybe I said D earlier, nobody corrected me?
I don't know, it's definitely E.
It's definitely E. E for Elliot. That's my guess, Elliot. Yeah. 36E, and then Rashawn Nadine Scott is here, who I profusely apologized off the air for making her wait outside, but she's here now. We're grateful. Rashawn is an actress, improviser from right here in Los Angeles, California. But where did you, first of all, welcome.
Hey.
Where did you grow up?
Oh, I grew up in Tacoma, Washington. That's like just south of Seattle.
Yeah.
If you've seen 10 Things I Hate About You.
I haven't. I'm not a bad person of a certain. I'm too old for that.
Well, it was shot at my school. Stadium High School is like this big castle. It was a chateau that got bought by the city like 100 years ago and then became a public high school. And Heath Ledger and, oh my God, what's
Julia
her
Stiles.
Julia Stiles, yeah. They were in that movie and they shot it at our school and there's a whole like big band number where like he asked her out with the band.
Are you in it?
No, darling, I'm not that old. no, but I was a band kid and our band director, like a guy proposed to his girlfriend and like paid our band like $200 to like reenact the scene.
Oh my
really?
God.
Yeah.
What did you play?
I played alto sax, tenor sax, bass clarinet. I was president of the band and the drama club, so I didn't have sex until I was about 27.
Yeah.
but I loved it. Like Tacoma was a very chill suburban sort of place. Like my parents worked for Costco. My dad just retired from Costco for like 38 years. You know, the same job, which was like unheard of, especially in my career. And they just encouraged me to like do anything. I was in glassblowing classes. I was in drama club. I was in all city student council. Like I just
think
the
glassblowing is what caused you from getting late, by the way. I don't know if it was the band or the drama.
No.
It was
cool. I seriously considered going to like glassblowing college before I was like, oh, I'm going to go to acting school.
What the shit?
Yeah, it was like an after school program where you could blow glass. I made like mosaics and bowls, and this is long before I started smoking weed. So there's this guy, his name was Trevor, and he would make bongs.
Trevor made bongs.
He would like make a glass bowl and then it would crack, and he's like, oh no, gotta throw it away, and then he'd keep it and make bongs. And I was just like, this guy's just wasting materials, man. He's just a little fuck up. But then I was like, let me do something practical and, you know, worthwhile. And I went to acting school.
And then are the woodwinds still a part of your life? Or are those?
You know, I haven't picked up a horn in a minute. But okay. If I had a saxophone, I could probably, like, noodle something out. But I wasn't like a...
Garen, get the sax.
Savant. Please, bring it out.
God, if
suck
only
on the reeds
sax
for me. But
we have a recorder. I don't know if that works for you.
I could play a little Hot Cross Buns if it
sure
came to it.
I don't know if it does.
but, like, I leaned more into, like, the vocals. I was a vocalist for the jazz band. I totally, like, talked my way into that. Could have done the show choir. But I was like, fuck that. I want to stand in front of the band.
Yeah.
And hold the microphone in front of guys when they're soloing and stare into their eyes and make them uncomfortable. It was a good time.
You said you went to acting school. Where'd you go?
I went to Western Washington University. So that's Bellingham, Washington. That's like 2 hours north of Seattle. Very granola. I was, you know, very comfortable in my Birkenstocks, just being free. And I studied the theater. It was very intense. That's when I got on the improv team. I'm at school, the Dead Parrot Society, Squaw. Shout out to them.
Nope.
Bellingham is also where Ryan Stiles' theater was, the Upfront Theater. Oh, so yeah. I got on the ensemble there when I was a student. So I was like doing improv shows on campus and then going over there to perform. And it was a good time. It was just like lots and lots of improv. It was basically the frat that I joined.
Great.
We were just like a bunch of theater kids who were thinking too deeply about comedy and analyzing every single move. We did this college improv tournament that like got me connected to Chicago. And we would watch other teams' like YouTube channels and watch their sets and be like, that was shit. We're not doing that. That transition. That was a walk-on that didn't need to happen. This guy's fucking up the whole set.
Oh, boy.
We're watching tape. I was just like, get out there.
You guys are getting game ready.
Yeah. Clear eyes, full hearts.
I understand.
Cannot lose.
Sure, Friday night. What? Did you move to Chicago then?
Yeah. I moved to Chicago after school because we did this tournament. We won. I got introduced to like a lot of people from the Midwest, like people went to DePaul University, Columbia, and all them. So we were cool with them, and I flew over after I did a production of Avenue Q. I played Gary Coleman. Stop applauding. You're going to mess up the sound.
I'm going to interrupt your story. My first job here in town was I did a pilot with Gary Coleman.
Yeah.
It was called Looking Up at the Nightly News, and it was basically the Daily Show, but everybody on the all the news reporters, we were all short. So it was called Looking Up at the Nightly News.
So how many episodes did you get?
Well, we did a pilot.
Okay.
And I know you're saying, but Jimmy, you're news people. Right. We were behind
a desk.
And so who gives a shit how tall you are? The premise doesn't work.
Because you're sitting down.
Yeah.
So they they didn't put you on like Apple boxes or why would they? That would make you taller.
That would make us taller. They did nothing. They didn't put us in a hole. To make us even shorter.
They didn't give you the Tom Cruise? They didn't dig a ditch?
No. So when the Kim would go, now let's go to the sports guy, when Gary was the John Stewart.
Okay.
And he would throw to me for sports, and I would do sports
short
news
sports
with comedy. And they would just come over to me, and it would be just me behind a desk. And you'd go, okay, it's just a guy behind a desk. And then Gary doesn't look short behind a desk either.
No.
He does now. He's dead, of course.
Yeah. They didn't, like, no one was like, hey, let's think up of ideas that would sort of exemplify or exaggerate the, like you interviewing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Would no one pitch that?
Force perspective.
Budget allowed.
Or go the other way and say, like, hey, there's a mouse in the studio. Why don't we go interview the mouse? Because that's how small we are.
Again, none of that. No. I think the premise was Gary is a tiny man looking up at the nightly news. Hey, we've got the greatest title in the world. Now let's just build around it. And it was...
So that was incidental. It was the title, and yet it was incidental to the
It was show. Not it needed in any way, shape, or form. Yeah. And of course, the famous in Jimmy Pardo world is day two. I walked in and walked past Gary, and I said, "What's going on, Coles?" And he said, "Coles." I go, "Yeah, that's my nickname." And he goes, "I don't care for it." I went, "All right." And that's the friendship that we formed.
Man, when you're number one on the call sheet, you can really put people down.
Yep. He was actually a very nice kid.
Yeah.
And was it was one of those things where, like, it was just good enough to go. When the producers are like, we think we're going to sell this, that you believe them. It was just good enough. Like, you know what? What if this could go? And it was my first job in town. So it was like, holy shit, I'm only here 6 months. I'm already on a pilot. Oh, here we go.
That's how
and
I felt.
Nothing.
When I first moved here, I mean, we're jumping around in time.
Yeah, I want to go back to Avenue Q at some point.
Time is fun. I played Gary Coleman in a production of Avenue Q.
I apologize. I derailed your story.
No. It's totally fine. But that was like my last big thing I did before I moved to Chicago. But and then when I moved to Chicago, it was just like, okay, we're living in Wrigleyville. You're familiar with Chicago, the area, everybody?
I live there, yeah.
I was in practically Boys Town. I was basically on, oh my God, Bradley. Right where the gay hop is, where all the gay bars are, and where the Cubs are, which has totally changed. That McDonald's gone.
Yeah, I know.
Sad.
It's like a whole outdoor mall now attached to the stadium. And
the hotel's just for the prostitutes and stuff. Yeah. It seems sad. But I was living in a house with five guys who I'd done improv with in college. We're all living in this house in Chicago and like going to taking classes at I.O., and just like doing that whole thing. So I interned at IO. My rent was $400. I was like living under the stairs in this like shitty apartment house thing. These guys just never cleaned up. It was, they didn't have a table. I had to just like get our shit together. Like, they wouldn't turn on the heat. And I was like, why are we living like this, guys?
Yeah, you got to live like people at least.
Please. This was never the case when we were back home. But now that we're out in the real world, they like couldn't get their shit together. So I worked there. And then, like, tried to get on an improv team there, but it was what happened. It was statistically, you know, there's like 7 classes with 10 people and there's 70 kids. They're only allowing 10 of us on the team, so statistically, not going to get on the team. And that's fine. I was having a good time. My classes were paid for because I was interning. So then I was like, oh, well, I'm going to just go to another theater and like learn as much as I can. It wasn't a big deal. And I did the Bob Curry Fellowship, which was like the first year they had ever done that at the Second City. It was just like, you're going to be a well-rounded actor, learn about satire, learn about all the sketch archive and shit. And halfway through that, that's where I met. I mean, there's wonderful people. Lisa Beasley, Dwayne Perkins, Torian Miller, like all these great, Shantira Jackson, all of these great writers who are like now working in Hollywood and are wonderful people. But like, this was our first little foray into Second City. Halfway through that, I got hired to be an understudy for the main stage in the touring company. So I was like, oh shit, I'm thrown into this. Okay, sure, I can memorize real good and like do my bits and stuff. And I had all these hours of improv from college and all this performance and stuff, so under my belt. So it was natural, second nature. So I do that, then getting fast tracked, then I get one of the stages, I get ETC. And I'm like, oh shit, this is cool. Oh shit, we do this show every day for how long? And they're like, until it runs out, bitch. Get up on that stage.
Let's go.
Shake that
Start
ass.
Start yes anding.
The bitches are coming down from Skokie. We need, you know, butts and seats. So my first review, I was learning how to write sketch. Like, I knew how to write a 10-minute play, because that's what I went to theater school. It was very, like, artsy-fartsy. Anne Bogart, the, you know, viewpoints, very, like, you know, a lugubrious actor, serious stuff. And my acting teachers at the time hated the improv people. We thought we were making, like, wild choices, being too bold, you know, pulling focus. And it's like, hey, baby.
Yeah.
If I got it, I got it.
100%. Good for you.
Why would you tell me no?
Right. Don't put that underneath a bushel.
Yeah. And I'm paying for this class. Yeah. So just give me the education, please, and move on. So then I got on ETC, and I was running that show for months and months and months. Then that summer, I auditioned for SNL. They also offered me main stage. Didn't get SNL. That's fine. But that was an intense process of like, oh, shit, we're being flown out. I didn't tell my family that I was doing it. Until I was in the hotel room, like, stressing out about what I was going to wear. And I was, like, walking around Old Navy. Called my mom, and she's like, where are you? It's like, I'm in New York. I'm auditioning for SNL, like, later today. But I'm kind of stressed out. Like, can I have $50 to get a new shirt? And she was like, yeah, but also, why didn't you tell anybody? I was like, because I don't want your input on my bits.
Yeah.
Because my dad is a total, like, hey, did you watch the show this week? They did this really funny thing. And I was like, I have no influence whatsoever over the writer's room at SNL. Now that I'm just auditioning, I'm not on the show yet. And that year, they only let on, like, one or two people. This was like just before Leslie Jones, I think, got on the show. So it was like a lugubrious time again.
It's the second time you've used that
word. It's a good word, and it makes me feel smart.
Yeah. Garen, will you send that word to me in an email so I can look it up later? Let's dive into this for a second, because we were just talking about those mini docs that did about the SNL, and one of them was about the audition process.
Yeah.
So, They see you. Somebody sees you in Chicago.
Yeah, they came to. It was a big deal. Everyone knew. Like, there's a certain time
they
of
knew.
Year. Mm-hmm. Someone's in the building.
Okay.
And they want to make sure you're. If I was like, hey, I'm going to call out because I was going to go on vacation. Like, no,
don't.
You need to be in the show this week. Like with anybody big who would come in, like fucking. Oh my gosh, now I can't remember his name. 40-year-old virgin. No.
Steve Carell.
Steve Carell has come by.
Apatow?
No, Judd Apatow came to see a show randomly, and they were like, everybody's got to be in the-. I was like, he's not casting anybody right now. It was just like, anytime there's a name, it twitters around the building, and everyone knows. Mm-hmm. So the SNL people are coming, and if you get tapped, like one of the Second City producers will tell you, like, hey, they want to talk to you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you don't talk to anybody in Chicago. They send the few of you to New York. So you're there in New York. I'm sitting in Keenan's dressing room, like, don't touch anything, but I want to touch everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Just waiting for them to call you and bring you down for you. Like, you email them, tell them what your, like, props or whatever things that you need. Then they walk you down, and the whole space is much smaller than you imagine. Like, obviously on TV it seems big and grand, but, like, you're sitting there in front of the band, but the band's not there. And it smells like an old high school theater, like layers and layers of lead paint. That's, like, the strongest memory that stands out. And you stand there, and it's just black. There's no one there, but there's a TV off to the side where Lauren is watching you on camera. Not watching you.
It's not what, yeah.
He's trying to see how you look on camera. And there's, you may get a little joke, maybe, something out there. But for me, I just think I was so overwhelmed by the area. Like, I think the swinging camera, it's like swooped by, and it like caught me off guard. I was like, holy shit, what is that? And I fully broke my character. I was like, all right, maybe it's not my time.
Not ready, yeah.
But a friend of mine, Alan Linick, he was a writer on the show in the Kanye year. And he was like, hey, I can look up your tape. Would you mind if I do it? I said, you burn it.
Yeah.
You, if you,
I don't want that getting out.
No, I don't want to end up on a documentary like, these are the old people who shit the bed.
Yeah, look at this. Look at this dummy that couldn't handle a camera.
Did you have the thing where, because I've from that documentary and elsewhere, I've heard everyone always describes it as, everyone tells you walking in, they don't laugh, don't worry about it, don't be rattled, don't think anything about it. Did you get that talk to? And
yeah, it was like it was like going into the coldest room. Yeah. Like again, like I was like, this should be part of it. They should have some people in there to be like, is this funny or not?
I'll say this. How about it be them?
Yeah.
I find that to be, and the same holds true here when you audition, when you get a, okay, you're going to producers for this sitcom. Mm-hmm. They're a cold room. Well, they shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Their job is to be supportive and find the right person for the role. Mm-hmm. Maybe you support them and laugh at them. And same with that SNL. Like, they were bragging about it. You know, we don't really laugh. Well, you should fucking laugh.
Yeah.
Because you brought in somebody that you saw in Chicago. She's funny in Chicago. Let's support her and maybe get her on the show. And then you can go, I discovered her. Fucking, God damn it. It infuriates
me. Of just like trying to intimidate you or make it different. Give me an old sketch. Put me in it.
Mm-hmm.
Put some of the new people that you haven't, like, you know, given full access to the cast. Put me in a scene with them. And if I crush them, I'm on.
Yeah.
I thought that's how it would go. That's how I thought the Herald teams and shit would go. And these improv theaters of like, oh, you guys want to put up the best people. It's like, oh, this is a pyramid scheme. You guys were trying to make money. Okay, this is a cult. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Oh, my bad. I should have known that ahead of time. But
yeah.
The audition happened. I left. I was sitting in Keenan's room waiting. Because it's like, oh, if you get asked to go for a drink with Lauren.
Wait, that's a thing?
Yeah.
They don't mention that on the
On the doc. If you get asked to, like, step away with Lauren to have a drink that evening, you know you're on your way.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. And then there was a group of us who were like, well, he didn't call me.
How long do we wait?
Let's go to karaoke.
And were there other people there with you that mm-hmm. ended up,
there was one guy who got it. That year, there were so many wonderful, Eddie Mujica, shout out to Eddie Mujica, check him out. He auditioned that year, too, and he's stellar. I was thought for sure, oh, this guy's got to go. Mm-hmm. He can do any voice, any character. He's like, he's the man.
Yeah.
He could do all of that Lonely Island shit, for sure, mm-hmm. like, in spades. And there was one guy that they brought on. I'm so bad with names, but he looked like a young Buzz Lightyear. That's what I recall from him.
A young Buzz Lightyear. And he was the one new cast member?
Yeah, one. It was like his last name had a lot of consonants in it. Like you would shake it up and just throw it against the wall.
What year are we talking about?
Is 2013, 2014.
Garen, look up that cast list and look for a lot of letters in a name.
And a Buzz Lightyear looking guy.
And then email me that word again.
Lugubrious.
It's something to do with peanuts, I think. Well, go ahead.
And then I wasn't as bummed to not get SNL because I already had the main stage job.
Yeah, that's exciting.
So I was like, okay, I'll do it. Who cares? I got a job if I do. But I also wasn't like, I just moved to Chicago. Can I move myself to New York City? It's very stressful to move. It's very and like, it's not guaranteed. They're not going to put you up anywhere. You have to find your own place to stay.
Yeah. Even as a brand new cast member, you're on your own to find housing.
Yes.
They don't say, hey, we put you in this hotel for the first 3 months until you mm-mm. find your footing.
Don't do any of that shit.
Hey, show up on Monday. Show starts next Monday. You've got a week to find mm-hmm. housing.
Totally. And I had moved further away than anybody in my family. Like, I don't know anybody else in Chicago. Now that I'm back on the West Coast, like, everybody's here. But I was like, okay, thanks God I don't have any more stress. And then we just started running the shows. And I was also at Second City when the big fire happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it was, like, the second day of rehearsal. I was in the coffee shop writing. I was like, this is fucking killer. I had my saxophone. I was like, oh, I'm going to write the funniest bits with saxophones ever. They're like, ma'am, you need to leave the building. It's on fire. And I was like, I work here. So fuck off. And then everybody's pouring outside, crying. Oh, shit. What are we going to do? And then we had to do shows without we had to do rehearsals without an audience to, like, bounce ideas off of, which is the whole Second City model of, like, try it in front of an audience. If it crushes, it goes in the show. So you're just performing, again, in another vacuum of, like, who am I? Am I even hilarious anymore? I don't know. Until we got, like, people in front of us.
Right.
That was a really hard time. But these shows, they run. It takes, like, 3 months to put it together. And then you just run it. Run it. We've done, like, thousands of shows. One guy in the cast, Jameson Webb, shout out to him. He had a spreadsheet of every show we did. And every guest we ever had, Francis Ford Coppola came one time, and I didn't recognize him because I was like, that guy who's asleep in the front row.
We're excited about him being here.
I like his wine. It's fine. And Steph Curry came. That was a big deal. And he was like, hey, guys, we've done like 200 shows. And like 200 or 500 or something like that. And I could feel my knees like giving out, like, oh my God, I've done three of these at this point. It was just like a long drag. That's also 2016 was when we were doing our show, where we fully thought that
the world would be a little different.
Yeah, yeah. It feels like it's that time again for some reason. So we had all of this great material, then it didn't work out in our way, or like, this person doesn't work in the administration anymore, so this joke makes no fucking sense.
Yeah.
So we have to pull it and do something else, and the audiences are getting more rowdy and radical, and it was a hard day.
Audiences did get a little rowdy at that time, didn't they? They felt like, oh, we could just talk.
Yeah.
We could just, we're part of it, even though we shouldn't be.
And the Chicago-ness of it, I was supported in like a, hey, you need to shut the fuck up. I stopped the whole show and was like, you need to tell your wife to shut the fuck up because she is ruining everything for everybody. And I had everybody just yell shame at this lady, like, fuck her. And then at the bar at the end of the night, this guy comes up to me. He's like, it was hilarious how you belittled my wife in front of everyone. Ooh. Would you mind if I recorded, if you would do it again?
Oh, he was serious.
Yes, he was wanted me to yell at his wife again. I said, no, you fuck, get out of here.
I'm not making that video for you, sir. Scram.
Yeah. That'll cost you like $100 on OnlyFans.
Sure, of course. Usually it's the opposite. The woman who come up, I didn't appreciate the way that you, I'm not upset. Shut up. You were ruining the show, ma'am.
Yeah.
Shut your mouth.
Just so emboldened. And I was like, you're awful. You paid $40 to be here.
Right.
That's on you, bitch. Like, I'm here to do my, I get paid the same rate, whether it's, you think it's hilarious or not. And I know that it is.
Yeah, she did not.
It was a time.
She's dumb. Garen, did you find the cast from that year?
I think so.
Who do you think it is?
The new, I think I'm going to tell you who started that year. I think I can guess who you're talking about. Beck Bennett and Kyle Mooney both started that year.
Okay.
I doubt it's them.
No.
No, not enough letters.
Is it John Millhiser?
It's got to be John Millhiser.
Yeah.
Or no.
Does he look like a young Buzz Lightyear?
You know what? I can kind of see him being a young.
Okay.
Pull the picture up.
That's our boy, Millhiser. Let's take a look.
I don't even remember that person.
I don't either. That's why
you will when you see his face. Okay. Or maybe you won't.
Is it him?
No.
Get him off. Get him off.
He's hilarious.
Get him the fuck off.
I saw him in a fun bit last summer. He's hysterical. Okay.
I've been told he's very funny.
It's not Mike O'Brien.
No, we know Mike O'Brien. He created AP
Bio. We're looking for the vowel. We're looking for the consonants.
Well, Mike O'Brien's got a lot of vowels in it, in fairness.
Yeah, but we want consonants.
Those are the new folks for that.
Is it
Brooks Whelan? Brooks Whelan.
No,
but it's not him either.
Is it Aristotle? What's his name? That's got a lot of.
I thought that too, but that's later. Yeah, I think
he wasn't even on the show a whole season. I don't think
this guy. They cut him loose halfway through.
Hmm. Yeah.
Try the next year, Garen. Maybe it'd be the next
year.
That
would be season 40.
Maybe Rashawn's not getting your dates accurate.
I mean, you know, time is a flat circle.
It's true.
Not in a circle. What it's from a movie. They used it in Severance on the season series. I don't watch the program, but Oliver does.
Yeah.
But it's in a movie. That song is in a movie that Oliver loves, and he sings it all the time because it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then they used it in Severance, and now he's a little mad because it's one of those things where, like, well, that was my go-to weirdo off-brand song.
Yeah. Now it's
It's in the zeitgeist. Everybody's humming it.
Hmm.
Circle of a song.
I gotta watch season two. I watched season one. Because I was a buddy of mine from school wrote, Dan Erickson created the show.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
He's a dead
parrot.
You're the queen of name dropping names when nobody knows.
I'm trying to get him out there, babe.
Good for you. Yeah. A lot of shout outs to these. Well, my wife and son loved both seasons. I know a lot of people do not care for season two.
I just started season one and I don't even know what I think yet.
That's
fair. I very much want to be part of the conversation because everyone's talking about it.
It's not for me. It's not for James R. Pardo Jr. I don't.
Is it just like the pace, or are you like, I need jokes, I need laughs?
No. I know it's not necessarily sci-fi, but I'm not a.
It's kind of a
thriller diller.
It's near. I know. I love thrillers, and I love dillers. Executive Barry Diller, my favorite exec of all time.
Yeah. High concept.
Jumps, time jumps.
Oh, so Westworld, that's not your team.
I'm not a Westworld guy.
Oh, that was so good, though.
Yeah, do you have a friend that did something on that? Do you want to give a shout out to?
Yeah, me and Jeffrey Wright are just
great.
Close. Yeah,
oh, he's very good in that book about the author. What was that called?
The movie by the author?
That was good.
Yeah, that was good. That just came up on a Jeopardy.
Yes, it did.
Thing.
Oh, do you guys watch Pop Culture Jeopardy?
Of course. Yeah.
Yes, I was.
He has not finished it.
No, oh, I did finish it.
Oh, you did finish it. We finished it. Yes. Garen, you finished it.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. You're upset with who won.
I'm not a fan of those.
It was Elliot who
finished
it.
Oh, the personality hires?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why?
Because they act like they're auditioning for Saturday Night Live and it bothers me.
I don't think they all did. I think the dude did.
Two of the three of them did. One of them's in a costume. That girl is in a costume the whole time.
What costume?
She's in a prom dress. Come on.
She was?
The girl in a prom dress?
She was in this puffy gown looking.
The blue dress thing?
Yeah. Like puffy shoulders.
Is that the girl with the,
that's
with
the like short the
bangs? The straight bangs, but
the
curly
one,
hair.
The curly hair? I think that's just her.
One was their HR friend.
Yeah, that's
the
true.
Other two were,
no, the dude. The dude clearly was.
He was hamming it up.
He was hamming it up. To which, I'm with you, dude. Stop it.
Answer your fucking question. To their credit, amazing. They were fantastic.
They were the third best.
I thought the other two teams were better.
The team that of the final three, the ones on the very end, the one who called Jost was like, "You guys have never gotten one wrong answer," and they just got crushed in that last.
They did a lot of wrong answers
just because they weren't at the trigger fast enough. Yeah. And I was like, "You guys know this.
What was that guy's name? He's got the beard."
Yeah,
it was that team,
and was that the team that they like went big on a daily double, and it killed them, like, because they were like, "Oh, we're gonna jump," and then it was the opposite.
Yeah,
that was brutal because I thought they were gonna win.
Me too, and that was the team that I went to Vegas and fucking put down.
Jimmy,
I put $10,000 on that team.
Jimmy, it was a streaming thing that everyone knew what happened already.
It wasn't out in the world.
Is this the guy?
Yes, that's him. What's his last name?
Rodinsky?
Yeah, what'd I say?
Oh, yes. I remember him for a minute and a half.
He was on there for a taste, but he's the only one who Lauren pulled aside and was like, let's have a cocktail.
And then they cut him loose quickly because he's handsome, and that's where it fucking ends.
Yeah.
The impeccable taste of Lauren Michaels. Seriously, if you line it all up, I mean, like, yeah.
He has a type.
Stars, but yeah, he's, I mean, there's so many people that go in there and just you never hear from them again. It's crazy. And he knows that. I mean, that's part of it too, I guess.
What year was he on the show? Now,
it was 2015. 2015, 2016,
44. Okay, season. So yeah. So I moved to Chicago January 2013. So it was like that.
You got a little
I've heard people, I think it was Jason Sudeikis maybe or someone, there are stories of people saying like they get invited and they're like, I'm not ready to audition. I don't want it to do.
Somebody was just here that told us that.
Yeah.
Who was just here? Somebody was just here that told us. What, wasn't it here? Or was it somebody that I was having lunch with? What was it?
I don't know. It might have been here.
Somebody said they were. I thought it was here. They said they got the call and they were like, no, I'm not ready. I'm going to wait a year. Well, and I think that's balls.
Yeah, it's
crazy.
Yeah,
to tell them no. I think, to know what you want. I know a lot of people who are like, if they ask me now, no, wouldn't do it. Just because I've stressed out. The thing is, because it's the Second City model just like on 50, you know, you're just constantly like digging that well of like what is hilarious. But you have all these wonderful writers who've been doing it for a long time and the crew is just like this is second nature to them. But like before I came out to L.A., I did the CBS showcase. It was like another sort of thing. And they asked me like every year and I was like, no, I'm not moving to L.A. unless I have a job that pulls me there. That's stupid. Why would I do that? Cut to. That's exactly what I was like, oh, okay. Well, I had done Southside. We had shot the first season. I had my last night. I was like, I'm done with Second City. Thank you so much. I stayed in the city for like another year before I decided I was like, I'm going to move. And that summer before I moved, we shot the first season of Southside. So I was like, cool. I got this show under my belt. That's something. To like go to a new city and, you know, she's working. And when I moved to LA is when they were like, hey, do you want to be on Chicago Fire? If you wouldn't mind flying all the way back to audition for us on your own dollar, that would be awesome.
And I was did
like,
you?
No, fuck that. That's stupid. That's dumb.
Agreed. But
it is stupid
some people do it.
But like, you're not making as much from the gig to like make that make sense.
Yeah.
It just like. So doesn't make sense.
I know it's different now. Maybe that was pre-COVID, but like, look, how about a tape? Do I really need to fly? Like, just here's a tape.
You needed to back then.
I did a tape. I did an audition with Claire Simon. She's a casting director in Chicago. And there was one time, it was like for Thug Girl number 2. which seems like totally typecasting. Like, what are you going to do? And there were two girls in the scene robbing another person. And there would be times where like, okay, we're going to send the three of you in the room to do the scene together. We're like, okay, cool. Get paired up with random people. This time it wasn't. It was like, she's going to read the girl who gets robbed, and then you read the other two girls. And it's like, they're talking to each other at some point. She's like, just combine the lines. So I get in there, and I'm trying to do this thing where she's like supposed to have like a purse full of like weed and hair extensions and all this other shit that she's doing. And there's no camera. There's no camera in the audition room. So she was just having me
read.
Read for her. Huh. And who knows if she can remember the hundreds of people that came through her office that day. And I was like, this is a kink. She's asking me to come in here and do this nasty little performance for her that she's not going to remember.
Yeah, that's
brutal.
Yeah, Claire.
Claire. Claire.
Pull up her picture, Karen. I'm kidding. here's a fun Jimmy Pardo fact for you.
Yeah.
The CBS Showcase is why I moved here.
Yeah.
They saw me in Detroit and in Chicago, and they said, we want you to move to L.A.
Who was running the program at the time?
Eric Fagan.
Eric Fagan.
I'm much older than you.
Well, they like had changed.
You don't have to agree to that so quickly.
She didn't agree or disagree.
Well, she moved on in a way that was very dismissive of old man Pardo. Okay, Grandpa. We got that in common, do we, Gramps?
Were the tapes in color then?
Yeah, no shit.
You were chiseling the cue cards.
Yeah.
You did describe being on a pilot with Gary Coleman, and you called him the kid.
That's really, he's young. He was younger than me.
What?
Oh, sure.
I mean, he had to be close.
I'm going to say we all know my age. I'm born in 66.
Yeah.
I would say Gary Coleman was born in 1970. That's my guess.
The thing is,
older than you?
Wait, what?
Yes, they should be.
Yeah, no, that adds up. But Gary Coleman was like older than he looked, obviously, because he was very small.
I understand something about Gary Coleman. This was supposed to be his comeback.
Right. No, I know it
wasn't. This was in 1995.
Right.
And it was, 10 years after anybody gave a shit about Gary Coleman.
Yeah.
Maybe he had done a Love Boat.
And that musical, because he was in Avenue Q for a spell.
What?
I think he played himself.
Good for him.
In Avenue Q for like a spell, but the role was originated by a short black woman. Played him.
And then here comes Gary Cohn. Well, I could do that.
And I think they won the Tony that year, too. So it's like, hey.
That's great.
It's working.
Yeah.
What year was Gary Coleman born?
1968.
Well, he's only 2 years younger than me. Well, of course, he's dead now, but we wish him a lot of luck because we do all dead people.
You have surpassed him in age.
Yeah. You won. Personalities in the afterlife just trying to get along.
Yeah. He's up there with Dana Plato. And he's up there with his first love, Dana Plato. People always say that when people die. Oh, that's good. He's going to be up there now with Dana. They didn't like each other on the set.
He has a friend.
All right. Now, listen, you're here on a unique day.
Yes.
We've been doing weird Oreo flavor taste tests. Now, you don't have to participate in this because, as we learned off the air, these are 4 years old.
Yeah. They expired 4 years ago.
We did the Post Malone Oreos.
Post Malone has Mr. Malone.
And I'm going to tell you something. Delicious.
What flavor? Or what color?
Matt?
It's like a salted caramel.
Oh.
One side of the cookie is the chocolate and the other side is the vanilla. Like, as I said to Joseph, to celebrate the fact that he appropriated black culture and then went back to country.
Oh, yes. Yes. We forget he's biracial.
But it is very, very delicious.
Biracial.
And they're still out there. If you want to go to Vons, I encourage you to look for it.
All right.
Maybe they're still out there. I don't know.
No, they're out there.
They are.
They're out there.
What flavor is Gaga?
That's the question.
Well, I guess we're going to find out here.
They're pink and green. They're almost pink. A wicked combo.
It says pink colored golden cookie with green cream.
So golden cookie. Oh, the tan ones. Okay.
All right. So
no hint as to what it might taste like.
All right. So I'm opening this up again. This expired 4 years ago. Yeah. So we may all be enjoying a stale cookie.
Was this just in someone's pantry for 4 years?
No, I bought it on eBay. Yeah. Yeah. So yes.
So there. Yeah.
I think it's supposed to. I think Gaga fans are supposed to buy these and put it with the rest of their shrine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think they're to be eaten. Well, but that's probably right.
Well, it's like communion because now she's on this really like danger.
Yeah.
Okay.
Religious sort of thing. Abracadabra.
Here's mine.
Oh, boy. Oh, they've got fun design on the.
Yeah. The Post Malones did too. They had like a guitar pick and a something else.
Mine looks
like
a tattoo.
Okay. I don't know if we should eat these, to be honest with you.
Well, mine has a heart.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's already fallen
mine
apart.
Mine just fell apart.
They don't stick. They're not really sticking. What, Karen?
I said I just vacuumed.
You did?
Yeah.
How'd it go?
Oh, some of these have. Okay. They have different ones.
Thanks,
you have a heart one.
It smells like cardboard.
Chroma.
I don't think we should eat
Chromatica.
These.
Yeah, the like
Ooh, it doesn't smell.
Will you hand that over to me? No, I'll do it. You don't have to. Oh, here. Oh, there you go. Okay. Joseph, are you in on this?
Sure.
There we go. Ellie just had a heart attack.
Yeah.
All right. Again,
this doesn't smell.
We
right.
can't come this far and not Ooh. Eat it.
It smells like Play-Doh.
Yes,
yeah.
it does.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not good.
Do they
that's
turn into Play-Doh
sign.
After a certain? Is that the
original? I'm going in, guys. I'm going in.
You are?
I need that. I'm gonna puke.
By the way, just even near my mouth, there's a cardboardness to it, like that I feel like is
your
due
mouth
to the,
is repulsing it.
It's due to the age. Like I feel like it is absorbed.
It smells
the
like
taste.
Chemicals.
Yeah, I don't know what we're doing here.
Mm-mm. This smells like a dirty yoga mat.
Yeah,
or were like green originally.
They what?
Yes. Were these green originally?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It does say on the package pink with green.
Mm-mm.
What do you got, Matt? You recommend we bail?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you want us to also suffer like you are?
No.
Don't do it.
If you think the smell is not going to, like, if you don't like how it smells,
I don't.
That's what it tastes like.
Okay. So
it's dry Play-Doh.
So you're cool if we don't all do this.
The serving size is 2 cookies. So
thank you.
Give
a second. I guess I better have another one.
All right. Let's throw these away then. This was a waste of money.
I mean, I kind of want you guys, I want a second opinion if anyone's willing to.
But Joseph already is.
I took a bite and I took it right out of my mouth because it's not good.
Yeah, it tastes like not food.
Okay, I'm not doing it. Listen, with my history of stomach issues, I'm not the right guy to risk this.
Give me this, Karen.
There you go. And Rashawn, would you put yours back in the package?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
All right, tape this back up and put it in eBay, Karen.
You need the trash can.
Yeah. Well, now it's worth more because it's been used on air.
It's not like a Lady Gaga thing. It's never not funny.
Yeah.
Double branded.
But now it's what's really.
What would you flavor your Oreo?
Oh, that's a great question.
Boy, that's a question that I don't like because it puts me on the spot and then you panic.
Yeah.
What would yours be, though?
I mean.
How do you flavor bland?
I love almonds. Like I eat a lot of almonds, so I feel like almond would have to be involved.
Do you like an almond cookie? You go to the Chinese restaurant. I love an almond cookie. Yeah.
Or an almond joy? Is that you?
They
or
got
like
nuts.
Mounds.
Mounds don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like just like a chocolate covered almond, honestly. Mm. So like maybe something like that, like something with those flavors.
Here's what I want for you, and I mean this sincerely. You go with the standard chocolate Oreo, because there's your chocolate, and then the cream filling is an almond flavor.
Yeah, an almond.
So that would be the Matt Belknap.
Yeah, because actually the other thing,
it's
I don't know
marzipan.
If you,
isn't marzipan?
Oh, maybe.
Almond?
Have you ever had like an almond croissant where it's like it's a croissant and then the inside there's like an almond paste?
No.
It's delicious. That's one of my favorite pastries. So, something along those lines. But like a dark, I mean, I guess they're all dark chocolate. The Oreo cookie itself is
it's
dark.
A dark chocolate. I saw Marzipan in Vegas, by the way. It was just a wonderful show.
Oh, my God.
Just
so
a wonderful
good.
Show. If you get an opportunity to
those
see Marzipan,
work so he's over. Hard.
Thank you. So you saw it.
Yeah, Marzipan. I love her puff pastry, all the girls.
Good for you. It's at the Wynn if you get it, and it's only there for the next 4 weeks, so go and see it if you get a chance.
You know, shout out. Come on, buy a ticket, guys.
Shout out. You're shouting out a fake person now. You're just the king.
The link's right here.
The queen of shout outs.
Here's what's odd.
All right, well,
that
Gaga thing was a fucking bust.
Let me, weirdly enough, the cream part seemed to. Can you back me up on this, Joseph? That part seems to have remained intact the way it's supposed to be. It's just the cookie part, I think over time, has just taken on the taste of...
His face does not seem to be agreeing.
I didn't get that far. Like
you took it out of your mouth.
I went, blah. You know,
yeah.
It was like dehydrated.
Yeah.
The cookie.
Like they sucked the juice and flavor out of it.
The cream was like absorbing whatever the cookie essence was.
Maybe, yeah.
Mm. Well, I'm glad you were here for that.
So glad.
But I'm just bummed that we'll never know.
We'll never know
what it was supposed to taste or what it did taste like.
Maybe they'll come back now that she's on this new.
Maybe.
Then I got to make a new one.
They were playing the album in Amoeba. They were playing it, and it sounded like a 12-inch mix because it basically every song kind of just.
It's very Shep Pettibone.
It's very. Everything she does kind of sound. I like it, but it all sounds the same.
I like. Did you listen to it, Karen?
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. It's like her old stuff. If you like her old stuff,
it's like club music.
Yeah,
like if you're trying to dance for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah, and I wasn't trying to do
that. Be a little dehydrated.
Yeah, Yeah, like I'm
what makes you dance for hours and hours?
Nothing. You know, the last thing anybody in this world needs to see is me dancing. It's a disaster.
Just body rolling.
Oh, I don't have
for
rhythm.
Hours.
I love music. I will listen to music nonstop. But dancing is I'm an embarrassment.
So what did you do when the Bee Gees told you, explicitly told you,
to
you should
alive.
Be dancing?
I would dance. And I would hope nobody would. I would dance like nobody was watching and hoping to God nobody was really watching.
Yeah.
I don't dislike dancing. I just don't. I can't do it. My wife will back me up on this.
So at your wedding, you just did a two-step and then
I danced.
Say, hey, everybody else, get up here. I don't want to.
Did the slow dance. Mm-hmm. You know, we did the slow dance with my wife, then a dance with my, you know, the mother, mm-hmm. groom. And then everything else is just kind of just jump up and down and have a good time. That's what I did at my wedding. Did a lot of jumping.
Okay, cool.
So they played House of Pain.
Yes, of course. Of course.
You came to get down.
Yeah. The band at my wedding, Leroy Ball and the Do Got Bag, is they do got more than you got.
Huh.
They're out in Vegas now.
Oh.
They were great. They were great.
Opening for Marmalade?
Yeah. Marzipan.
Marzipan, shit.
That's our sister.
Yeah, Marmalade, they split
they
up.
They do not get along.
Do not even mention one in
it's
front of the other.
It's fun to watch them fight.
You enjoy it.
Yeah.
I'm uncomfortable with it.
It's like a Housewives level of like, okay, I'm distanced from this to watch it and be like, you guys are fucking insane.
I think that's what Ryan Murphy's next show is about.
It's going to be the Marzipan?
It's about Marzipan.
Marzipan and Marmalade?
Marmalade, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe Gaga will be in that one.
She will be playing Marzipan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay. Duh. We just wrote it.
Speaking of Marmalade, this show is coming to the Forum. It's the Four Queens. You get Gladys Knight.
Oh, yes.
Chaka Khan.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Stephanie Mills.
Mm-hmm.
And Patti LaBelle.
Wow.
At the Kia.
That's holy shit.
The Kia Forum. Four Queens, Garen.
How long is the run? Or is it one night
it's
only?
One night. Get in, get out.
Oh, my God. Okay,
they're all, other than Stephanie Mills, they're all 78 years old.
Yeah.
So they can't, they got like 8 dates around the country.
What is Stephanie Mills?
She was famous for being in The Wiz initially.
She's saying, and I am telling you.
No, no, Jennifer Holliday.
Wait, Stephanie Mills was in Dreamgirls?
No, she was not, ma'am.
She wasn't?
No, she was not, ma'am.
Oh, no.
No, ma'am.
This is as bad as when Marzipan and Marmalade.
She was Dorothy in The Wiz on Broadway.
Yes, that was Stephanie Mills. Then she had a couple of big hits in the 80s.
Home?
She was on MCA Records.
Okay.
I went to see her. She's a little 4'7".
Oh, my God.
She's 4'7"?
Maybe 4'8", but dino. She's just dynamite.
I mean, she should have been on that Gary Coleman pilot.
We would have welcomed her.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a fun concert. I've seen some really good concerts over the years.
Who have you seen?
I've seen Prince.
Yeah, we've seen Prince.
It was the True Funk Soldier tour. My dad is a huge Prince fan. Mm. So my parents, when he was coming to town, we just presume, oh, mom and dad are definitely going. And they like were about to leave. I'm like, hey, you guys have a good night. And then they sent us to bed early, which was strange because it was like 7 o'clock.
That's too early.
Much too early. So on our beds were my dad's old concert t-shirts and a ticket.
We
went to the Prince concert. And they like got us seats. We're up kind of the nosebleed section. And they were like, okay, you guys are up here. And we have front row seats, so we're gonna be down there.
Oh my God.
And then my mom got pulled on stage.
What the fuck?
Holy to like shit. Dance with Prince. My dad was taking a smoke break and some stage manager came up to them and was like, hey, do you want to get on stage? And my dad pushed my mom into this guy and was like, yeah, she does, she definitely does. And she got up on there and she was like doing her little two-step in her little high heels.
And you're up in the nosebleeds.
Up in the nosebleeds. And we're like,
you could tell it was her?
Yes,
you
knew because we're like, that's mom. That lady is the same height as Prince. Who's wearing heels? What's going on? We're like, that's our mom. You fucking believe it. No one would believe us.
I don't believe it.
No. And then when she got off stage, they came all, we could hear them going click, 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 all the way back up to our seats. We're like, did you see me? I got on stage.
Unreal.
It was so cool.
That
was insane. One of the best concerts. I've seen Beyonce a bunch of times. I went to Coachella last year for the first time, which I thought was going to be a really overwhelming and uncomfortable situation.
Yes, and it was not, it sounds like.
It was not. Like, we did things the right way. We, like, got a hotel that was, like, rather close to the campgrounds. What they don't tell you is the parking is free there.
Oh.
They don't tell you that.
The first night, like, we, like, took an Uber to the campgrounds or whatever, went through the security, and at the end of the evening, everyone's trying to get an Uber and go out, so the prices are like, it's like $100. And we're like, we're going 10 minutes away. There's no way. It's $100. So we're just like shelling out cash just to get back to our place. And then on Sunday, we were like, well, we want to leave and drive back to the city as soon as we're done. So let's just drive. There's a parking lot. Let's just go.
Yeah.
There's no cost. It's not on the website. It's not on the app at all. So you could drive there in the morning, park your car, do what you got to do, sober up, drive back home. Huh.
Yeah.
That's cool.
You keep saying we. Who would you go with?
My boyfriend.
What's this fellow's name?
His name's Dwight.
Dwayne?
Dwight.
Dwight. And is he also in show business?
Yeah. He writes and produces his stuff and works on shows. Like he does, he's a visual effects coordinator.
Great. How long have you been with Dwight?
Just like a year and a half.
About 18 months, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Yes. And you guys live together?
No, not
good
yet.
For you. The Lord wouldn't appreciate that.
Yeah. No. I mean, I've had roommates before, which were great and wonderful, but then I moved into my own place right before the pandemic. Like, I had a roommate who I first moved to the city with, and she was just awful. She had a cat. It was just disgusting. And she was doing a lot of cocaine, and I didn't know that.
Oh, my God.
And she was just, like, wild and not anything that she said she was. And then I was, through a friend, found the place that I have now, and I've just been there.
You love it.
It's good. It's good space for one person. It's expensive to move and do all this shit. So it's, and out here, like, if I'm gonna move again, I want it to be like a permanent place,
right?
Because it was in Chicago, I moved like every year. Like, didn't even have a Illinois state ID. I was just still, you know, using my Washington one until I moved here, and I was like, I gotta get serious. Like, this is
yeah,
I'm
get
doing
some
things wrong. So, but who else was at?
Yeah, who did you see? Because you can't see everything, right?
At Coachella. I saw Childish Gambino, which that was like a big one for me. Tyler, the Creator. We saw Brittany Howard from Alabama Shakes.
Mm-hmm.
Her like solo album, so electrifying and amazing.
She's a very good guitarist.
Yes. Insane. Like she had a side project called Thunder Bitch that had some like really good rock and roll shit into it. And it was just like psychedelic, cool. She was wearing like this big muumuu sort of thing that just like reflected lights. And it was just like the wind picked up in her hair was like sick. We saw Chloe Bailey. We saw Vampire Weekend. We saw Renee Rapp. We saw No Doubt was really a great show because Gwen Stefani, like she sounded so good. And she was like doing push-ups on stage. She's like, I'm just so excited to be here with you all. Let's sing this song together, okay?
All right, now do an impression of her. That's my go-to joke now.
Who else did we see?
She's very recently gone a little bit, I don't know if nuts is the right word, but she's doing ads for a Christian app. And
is she still married to, what's his ass?
Yeah, that country guy.
Yeah.
Blake Shelton.
Yeah. There was a meme where it said, it's a split photo of her and then Blake Shelton. It's like, what's happened to Gwen Stefani? Oh, this. And then an arrow. Like, he's changed her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't they meet on The Voice? And that's how.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
But she is from Orange County, so which is also,
right, yeah,
you know, leans Red Hattie. Yeah. So
she also just seems to be very, she loves picking up new cultures. Like, she's like, I'm gonna put a bindi on my forehead. I'm Indian now. Oh, now I'm a Harajuku girl. And now I'm country. Now I'm going to be a Christian and trad wife.
I think those girls who are the Harajuku girls, like, had come out in the last couple of years of like, oh, yeah, she didn't pay us very well. Yeah. She treated us like shit. We were literally just props.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So her and Post Malone can, you know, get together and write a book on how to fuck people over.
Post Malone is famous for that as well? I don't know this.
Oh, yeah. He was like, I didn't know that he was a country star to begin with. And then he started rapping and shit. And just like, I couldn't tell you any Post Malone songs that I know off the top. I know he's did a song with Beyonce, which I thought was a good way of like Uno reverse of like, okay, since you want to take from like black culture and have it like propel your career, I'm going to use you for country.
Mm-hmm.
Get those streams. And then if I see him at the concert,
what are you going to
do? I will shit.
Oh my God.
Wow. I really, really expected that sentence to end differently.
I will be disappointed because I don't give a fuck about him, and he's only got one song with her. It's not going to be worthwhile to like go on tour with Beyonce for him. I was like, she don't need you for that. I've seen Beyonce a bunch of times. Who else? Jill Scott is one of my favorite artists.
Sure.
She sings so incredibly well. Paolo Nutini is like Scottish was he, Scottish and like Polish?
He's got the Shoes song. Is it a song?
Yes,
Shoes?
New Shoes. Yeah. And then his newer stuff is more like a psychedelic, like, sound. It's very different from like the Jenny Don't Be Hasty, mm-hmm. New Shoes. It was very poppy when he came out.
It was very poppy.
2007.
I liked him and then I didn't. It was
he just went away.
Yeah. Maybe I'll revisit him.
It was like that, and I was listening to like Ray LaMontagne, Amy Winehouse, The Kooks, Arctic Monkeys, like that around mm-hmm. the time. I was like really into that type shit.
All right. Hmm. But you know what time it is? It's time for this.
It's the letter game, starting with the letter game. Hope my guess is better. You start with the letter and end with the name. It's the never not funny letter game.
All right, now for those that have not been paying attention, Elliot is not here, but we're matching Elliot.
Yeah.
And that means that Rashawn is going to go first. Mm-hmm. Joseph is going to play, and he will go last. We have an additional guesser this week. Mm-hmm. So the and what a perfect letter for it, letter E, where there's upwards of three answers, maybe. Five of us have to answer.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll see what happens. If you match Elliot, you get $10. And we will call Elliot, and hopefully he will be well enough to answer the telephone and give us his answer.
Yeah.
And how will he answer the telephone? Oh.
Yes,
right? Is that not a bad? That's a pretty good Elliot, right?
Exactly.
Oh. 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 He swallows the L and the O.
For humor.
Does he?
I think it's for humor.
I'll bet you $1 million it's not.
Well, every time he does it, it makes me think of the old movie phone recorded voice, because then I start saying, "Oh, welcome to movie phone. If you know the name of the movie you'd like to see, please press 1. And then he doesn't react.
No, he'll tell you a story about the history of the telephone.
Yeah.
All right. Now, Garen, I'm not going to be able to get up and get my own beverage. You're going to have to go get it for me.
Oh.
Do you want another green or you want to go white?
By the way, I cannot get the taste of that Oreo out of my mouth.
I know you like almonds. You want a lollipop? You want a Chupa Chup?
Do you want to go brush your teeth real quick?
How about that?
Those are all good ideas.
You want a mouth rinse?
I'll be all right.
Yeah, this is getting away. Yeah, you know what? Let's stick with the same flavor, Garen. I think that's safe.
Have some Altoids, Matt. You want an Altoid?
Oh, he's got an Altoid.
You want an Altoid?
How do you say no to that when this taste of the cookie is horrible?
Yeah, I guess that's a good idea. I don't want it to be the noise of that on the mic is might be annoying.
Well, you don't have to click it against your teeth. Just let it sit on your tongue.
How are you going to deliver
this? Like you're doing acid.
Like a trained seal? I'm going to...
I can pass it over.
That might be the best way to do it. Yeah,
it's probably a smart idea.
There we go. We hand it to one person, and then you go. Now you pop that in your mouth and start seeing some shit. Thank you, Garen. It's Garen Cockrell. Jimmy needs a monster drink. We can't play the.
Usually, we have a song that goes with that happening, but we don't have Elliot to play it.
It's his hummingbird energy starting to sink. The great Dog Julin. All right, so Rashawn, we start with you.
Yeah,
a horror or a sci-fi movie that begins with the letter E. Again, if you match Elliot, we will call him. You get $10. If you don't match him, then we just hopefully had some fun talking about it. Go ahead.
Okay. My guess is Eraserhead.
Eraserhead. Now, I don't know anything about Eraserhead. Is that considered...
That's horror.
Is it horror?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about it.
A deformed baby. The guy has a... it's like a... I don't know. It's not a demon.
I don't think I've...
What do? Use his head to get stuff off the chalkboard? How's it work?
Well, the Eraserhead, the titular Eraserhead, is the dad, but his wife or girlfriend has a baby, and it's like basically a monster kind of. I don't know. It's creepy.
Black and white, right?
Yeah.
David Lynch.
That's it. Oh, it's a David Lynch film. We just lost him.
His first movie.
Yeah.
Rip.
I think I liked one of his movies. I think at the end of the day, I enjoyed one of them.
Blue Velvet's really good.
And Mulholland Drive's okay.
I mean, they're increasingly weird, I think, for
Breathless?
The most part.
Did you do Breathless or something that sounds like that?
Breathless.
And I don't think so.
With Richard Gere? Did he do a film with Richard Gere?
That is a movie, but I don't think he directed it.
You know, or Elephant Man.
Don't say anything else.
Sorry.
What are you doing?
Looking at my internet device.
Well, let's see if we can do that quietly.
Okay.
All right. Do James. I need to shame you? Do I need to have everybody point shame at you? Get the other four. One, two, three. I mean, the four of us?
Yep.
Tough time with numbers.
Jim McBride directed Breathless.
He did a great job.
Was that a remake of the Godard movie?
Based on, yes.
I never saw that.
It's Richard Gere. Give me the initials of the woman. Is it Laurie Singer? It's not Laurie Singer.
It's VK, a name that I do not know.
VK? No, who is it?
Valerie Kaprisky?
No. Oh, she had a minute.
I know who she is.
She had a minute, yeah. All right, Matt, the letter is E.
I'm so torn. I feel like there's an obvious answer, but it's on some level the last thing Elliot would ever say. But maybe he's going to, again, Uno reverse it.
I've never been more happier with a phrase than Uno reverse. Right? Now I'm going to use it as if I've been throwing it around my entire life.
Lugubrious and Uno reverse. If I can get you one more thing before I get out of here.
Well, I'm happy with lugubrious is never going to happen. My brain will never.
You've said it a zillion times now.
But Uno reverse, I'm going to use. And again, as if I've been saying it, as if it's mine. And then get mad at you for using it.
Okay, I will comment every time you do it.
And I'll go, I did not steal this from you. I will deny it, even though it's on tape. I will pull a Trump administration cabinet member and just deny. No, that didn't happen. No, here's the videotape. Nah, something. It's a hoax. He's saying this is a hoax. I don't think he knows what a hoax means.
He's saying everything is a fucking
hoax. Why won't he die? I'm serious.
Why won't he die? Why aren't there... Where are the B613s, if I may, like, scandal reference? Where are our shooters?
Right. This is a comedy show, in case Big Brother's listening. But
disclaimer on there. But where is it? Like, what the hell?
Come on!
Why has this guy not been taken out? Yeah, and that shooting that happened last... That's so fake. That was some bullshit.
If I may, since you brought it up, and it's relevant again, look at my ear again. Do you see this scab right there? You see it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Look at that. Yep.
You see it, right?
I see a scab.
Yeah. That happened 2 years ago. This happened 2 years ago, and it still will scab over, and it has not fully healed. It was not a bullet that hit my ear.
Mm-hmm.
A bullet or shards of glass hit his head, and he's fine. So bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm agreeing with you.
Yes,
my point.
Yes, yes, yes.
And my ear is the evidence.
Yeah.
Put my ear into evidence, Your Honor.
Oh, my God.
Your Honor, I'd like to enter in evidence.
You can't handle this ear.
Is that what got you the SNL audition? That hot piece of parody?
They loved it.
They loved it. Doesn't sound like that. You got no drink that night. That's unfair. She got the audition, dickhead. You didn't. I'm yelling at myself. No. You didn't do sketch, Jim. Oh, that makes sense then.
Still be nice to ask.
So Matt, yeah. you did a big preamble.
Then, yeah, yeah. Then, so I think ultimately I'm going to decide he will never say the big one that I'm thinking of. For reasons we'll explain later. So I'm going to go with, of the two remaining things I can think of, the one I like best. And I do like this movie. It's a good movie. Edge of Tomorrow.
Edge of Tomorrow. That's the Tom Cruise film.
Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt. Very underrated. Is it underrated? I don't know.
No, I think it's very. I think people talk about it. A lot. Everybody says it's underrated.
Yeah.
Which means
it's not underrated.
But at the same time, nobody considers it a Tom Cruise classic, and it should be.
It didn't do well. It was poorly titled.
Poorly titled.
They tried to change the title halfway through the ad campaign to just Live, Die, Repeat, or when it came out on Blu-ray.
That was the poster said that.
Yeah.
Enter Tomorrow. It's like the world ending. One of those.
It's like a time loop movie where they're fighting aliens on a. I know. Distant planet or something.
And I liked it. So
you hate time loops.
Yeah.
I hate Tom Cruise, and I'll fucking fight him.
He keeps coming back. He keeps getting killed, and he comes back to life, and he's trying to, like, get it right. But it's really fun.
Mickey 17 bullshit, right?
Kind of.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
My family hated it. They hated it.
Are you part of that family?
No, I didn't go.
Okay.
No, I don't, and by the way, you know I'm not interested. You know I love going to the movies.
Yeah.
If my wife and son say, hey, we're going to the movies when I come, I will say yes pretty much to anything.
Yeah. Did you see the Looney Tunes movie?
What?
The day the Earth blew up?
Or? I did not. I'm not a big animation guy. Okay. Should I see it?
It was funny. It was like a full, like a Daffy Duck and a Porky Pig, like leading a whole long-ass film. I mean, not long ass, but it was like 90 minutes.
You like to laugh.
Yeah,
how did that get released and they didn't release the one that everyone says is
that's
incredible?
What I'm saying. Yeah. There was that one guy dressed as a coyote, like protesting in front of Disney. And I was like, okay, he's trying to get this shelved movie out. But then this whole other feature had no, you know.
Nobody cared
for it at all.
And that one was like a live action animation mix, right? So it must have been expensive. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, meh.
Well, Forte's the star.
Right.
They shelved it for tax reasons.
Right? Yeah, which is very frustrating.
Screw you,
trying
jerk.
To tank the network.
Fuck that guy.
What's your guess?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great question. Well, now I'm torn because I have two good ones. I think both of them can land under the title of obvious. I'm going to go with The Exorcist. I'm going to go with the F.
Sure.
But I think there's one more that's a also one. A big one. Garen Cockrell, you... Garen. Oh,
so stressed over there. Sitting cross-legged on the floor. As Jimmy
goes around the hall. Garen sucks. All right, Garen, you gave us a big song and dance about how you're going to guess something that nobody else will say.
Well, I'm not going to do that.
Oh, you've changed your mind.
Wow. Because I didn't think it would get this far with E.T. still on the table.
That's the one.
The extraterrestrial?
Yeah.
But the thing is, Elliot hates E.T. with a passion because it ruined his life as a child because the character's name is Elliot.
Does Uno reverse us?
That's what I was wondering, but I don't think he does. I think he hates it so much he would never say
I don't think so either. I don't even think it makes his top five.
He might... put it in five spot just to say how much because he loves telling the story of how he hates it.
Yeah. All right, so you think I should go with my original?
I'm not telling you what to do.
No,
I think I'll go with my original just for conversation's sake.
Well, you could say what it is for conversation. Well, wait until Joseph says it.
Yeah.
But stick with E.T.
All right, I'll stick with E.T.
All right. Anything else we got to know about, Garen, that you've done over the past few days?
What have we talked about? I had that celebrity sighting that you know.
Oh, yeah.
That I know.
That you know.
But you, if you want to play it, we can play it.
How do you know it? Oh, you saw it on...
He didn't say who it was, but I guessed it.
Huh.
Yeah. Here we go. This is not the... Celebrity sighting. Celebrity sighting. All right.
Elliot usually plays these theme songs, so we're limited in our song drops.
Yeah. We usually have a song for a celebrity sighting. All right, so... Garrett's segment, we are playing Celebrity Sighting. Joseph, you're welcome to play. It's like 20 questions. You're trying to guess what celebrity did Garrett see out in the wild.
Ah.
And you're going to set the scene for us.
Yeah, so I went to a concert at Hotel Ziggy in, I think it's in West Hollywood. But then I met some friends afterwards at Revolver, a club in West Hollywood. I don't go to WeHo very often, ever. I don't, clubs are not my thing, so I was immediately...
He's not a cool gay.
No, I'm not. I was immediately kind of anxious because it's so loud and there's so many people and it's... I have some anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start hearing whispers, people like, blah, blah is here, blah, blah is here. And then my friend grabs me, drags me across the bar, and then puts me face to face with this person.
And did you speak with this person?
Spoke, hugged. And then left because I felt like an asshole encroaching on a celebrity's time, and I don't like to do that.
Okay.
Right. I'm going to take a shot in the dark. Given everything you've just described, knowing it's your friend said Garen.
There we go.
So it's got to be someone you really love.
Mm. Yes.
Trixie Mattel.
It is Trixie Mattel.
There you go.
Oh, shit. You met Brian?
Yes.
Yes. I love Trixie.
Yeah. Very, very nice. I feel like I kind of came off a little asshole-y because I was kind of like...
What did you say?
I just felt... Like my friend dragged me across the bar and just threw me in front of him. And I don't do stuff like that for celebrities in person. I feel weird about being
like, hey, can I have an autograph? I'm like, you're a person.
Yeah.
I saw Viola Davis at Target and immediately like saw her and then bolted because I don't want to interrupt this lady.
You know why? Because that's a real celebrity.
Trixie Mattel is like a
niche,
big deal.
Very niche.
Now RuPaul's Drag Race, we're in season 17. We're about to have All-Stars 8.
What you don't get is 10? It's very niche.
10.
Maybe it's 10.
We've done All-Stars 9 was last?
I think so.
I'm only counting the U.S.
Thank you.
No.
That made me laugh. Well, Garen, that's exciting for you.
It was really cool.
I killed the game, but...
I met LaGanja Estranja like a couple weeks ago in WeHo.
Can you guys have this conversation anywhere else but here?
And Jujubee was there.
I can't be more clear. I don't need to hear about Trixie or Juju.
And Tammy Brown.
I love Tammy Brown.
Shut up, the both of you. Shut the fuck up.
Do you know Meatball?
What are you doing?
I'm naming famous drag queens is what I'm doing.
Oh, I know what you're doing. I'm saying, what are you doing? Like a father would say it. Like, you knock it off. You stop it now. All right. Are you guys done with your little grab ass?
Season All-Stars 9 was the last season.
I guess we're not.
Wait, it's Friday.
Garen, no, it's she's Friday. Leaving. You have to stay here and put up with my shit.
That's true.
All right?
I'm going to get...
But
I'm
the makeover close. Episode is this Friday, so it's going to be really fun. Okay.
This won't end. I'm not really upset.
What was it? I just got to go back. What was it? Lanja La Blanja?
Oh, LaGanja Estranja.
Yeah, will you email me that so I can use that instead of that other L word that I just learned?
Of drag queen names.
I went to a Did we talk about the house, queer house party I went to with the concert and everything?
You mentioned it briefly, but we didn't really get it.
Adore Delano was there.
Oh, party.
Her boyfriend's band performed, and it was greatest music experience I've ever had.
Better than Ed Sheeran? That man holds an audience in his hand.
Yeah, we did talk about this. Yeah.
Yeah. We said the same joke then.
Yeah.
No, we used Taylor Swift that time. Oh, we did. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, let's check in with Joseph then. Joseph's got a guess on the E movies. I think there's one big one left out there.
Well, I'm not going to say E.T., obviously. But
well, you can't. Yeah. I mean, you can. You can share the winnings.
For the same reason. But I'm going to say Escape from the Planet of the Apes.
Wow. That's a good, that, wow. That is a good movie.
Alternate guess.
What would be a backup?
Ender's Game.
Ender's Game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think Evil Dead would be my backup.
Yeah, that's a big one.
I think that's a big one. Somebody muttered Elephant Man earlier.
What about Escape from New York? That's sci-fi.
Yeah, do we see him saying that?
No.
If he Googles it, maybe. If he Googles, like, oh, I can only think of one. I got to Google.
Yeah.
What was your backup? What was your dumb one you said, Gary?
I had Enemy Mine is the one that I was going to go with.
It's Dennis Quaid.
Or Ex Machina.
That's a great one. Shit, that's really.
You think it's that?
There's if also he thought Explorers, but I don't know if he's going to say Explorers.
The other one I thought of is The Eternals, probably the worst Marvel movie ever.
Oh, my God. It was so long and so nothing boring. Happened.
Yeah. Okay, what I got to do now is.
There was just an announcement of something, Marvel. What was all the chairs about?
They were just showing most of the cast, hopefully not all of the cast, of the next Avengers movie, which is Doomsday. And it was like 27 names and 3.5 stars, I would say. It's like really underwhelming.
Did you guys go back to talking about RuPaul?
Okay, who do you think is going to win?
No, kidding. I'm calling Elliot.
We're calling Elliot.
All right, the two of you. I'm not fucking around here, Garen. You shut up. You quit engaging her. All right? She's only doing it to show off. Knock it off. Garen's just excited somebody has similar interests. Yeah. Usually. All right, here we go. I'm calling Elliot. Hello.
Hello. Crank it up.
Here it comes. Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Hello, Elliot. We're here. Rashawn Nadeem Scott is our guest, and we've just gone around the horn. How are you feeling, first of all?
Better than yesterday, about the same as 2 days ago.
Blasting out the speakers.
What's that?
He's blasting out the speakers.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't sound great. Well, I'm sorry to hear that you're not doing well. I didn't hear his answer, to be honest with you. All right, let's get to it then. We'll get you right back to sleep.
Sure.
We've got the guesses here. We'll tell you the guesses. Rashawn went first and said
Eraserhead.
She said Eraserhead. What is that noise?
I don't know.
Some scratching.
She said Eraserhead, and then Matt said, what the fuck is that
it's
noise?
It's on Elliot's end.
Elliot, something's happening on your end. We're going to call you right back.
All right.
That was on his end, right?
Is he, what, like washing dishes?
It sounds like, it's like, oh, I'm in the shower right
he's
now. Sorry.
Put some headphones on.
That was horrible. Let's hope that this. Hello. Hello again.
Hello, part two.
Do you still have a crazy mess?
Not at the moment. What do you think that was?
I didn't hear it, so I don't know.
Still there.
Is he on speakerphone?
Yeah, speakerphone or something?
No, I'm on it.
What?
How about now?
There you go.
100% better. Oh.
I don't know if this is mathematically possible. 1,000 times better.
Yeah.
All right.
Was it an earpiece, a Bluetooth?
Yeah, I was using an earpiece, wired earpiece.
It was horrible. Absolutely horrible.
Oh, it was wired?
All right.
That's amazing that wired. Oh, so it was probably the mic was probably rubbing against your shirt or something.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, I said Edge of Tomorrow, the Tom Cruise movie.
And then I said, what did I say? I said The Exorcist. And then Garen said E.T., The extraterrestrial. Oh. Yeah, sorry to bring it up.
And I specifically said that you would never say E.T. I was going to say it, but then I was like, no, he's never going to say he hates it so much, for obvious reasons.
And I don't know if you heard during all the squeaking of your headset, Rashawn said Eraserhead.
Yeah.
And then sure. Joseph Limbaugh, who's filling in for you, and I got to say, Elliot, doing a great job.
Okay. I'm sure he is. He's hand-selected.
Oh, that's true. That's fair. Yeah. Joseph, your guess again?
Escape from the Planet of the
Escape
Apes.
Escape from the Planet of the Apes, which I think is a great guess. I don't know if it's a great guess for you, but it is a terrific guess. All right, so give us your five, if you would. We don't know what the fans are.
So just for a setup, I did this when I was in the studio and wrote it on my piece of paper, but that does not count anymore because I forgot what I wrote.
Yeah.
And I thought of these today.
Okay.
I have six. I'll go through them fast.
Okay.
Numbers, and you'll see why. Number six, Edge of Tomorrow.
Edge of Tomorrow. Matt's out.
Mother effer.
Matt's out. Okay.
Number five, Existenz.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Cronenberg.
Number four, The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah. You don't know what?
I don't know by the rules whether, because it's Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back.
Nah, it's fine.
No, no.
When it was Empire released, it was called The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Number three, Evil Dead.
Evil Dead. That was my backup.
You did mention that.
All right.
Number two, Ex Machina.
Oh, Rashawn thought it could be that at the last second.
And we thought that was the best guess of the of all of the ones we heard in the room.
But here we go. Do we have a winner?
One. We do not.
Oh.
Ender's Game.
That was Joseph's second backup.
That was Joseph's backup.
That was my backup.
Sorry about that.
Thoughts on enemy mind.
I got to think about F.
All right. Yeah, start thinking about F.
Yeah.
Movies, not the filth that entered your mind when I said that.
I mean, you know.
You could think about effing off.
I can tell you that right now.
What'd you say, Elliot? I can't hear you.
Fuck this cold. I can tell you that right
now. Yeah, fuck that cold.
Yeah, fuck that cold.
Fuck that cult and fuck that cult
and fuck that fuck that cult and fuck that.
Man, that was a great lip sync performance on Drag Race when they did that.
I'm not kidding. If one of you two mentioned it one more time, either way, Garen gets kicked.
It was RuPaul who did it.
Garen's getting kicked in the face, Rashawn. He's going to get kicked.
With a high heel or a pleaser?
All right, Elliot, we're going to let you go because it's getting stupid over here. our guest is a joy, but it's gone off the fucking rails because Garen had to mention that he saw
it. So do you want to come with us to High Tops to watch the show tomorrow?
I'm in.
We got to get a table at 6:30, though.
I'm out.
The show starts at 8.
Elliot, this is inexplicably, this show has become a RuPaul's Drag Race recap show for some reason.
I mean, fair enough.
That's all I ever wanted.
Yay.
All right.
Also, I think that time of day is perfect for you, Jimmy. 6:30 arrival, you leave by, what, 8?
You know, I do like that. I do like that prospect.
Oh, it doesn't start till 8.
Yeah. Oh, it doesn't start till 8. You got to get there early to reserve the table.
Oh,
I'm out.
Oh, and then you got to wait. And,
yeah. No, all right, back to the walk.
Goodbye. Watch Untucked.
Bye, Elliot. Bye. Feel better soon.
You guys want to hear his previous list? I have it.
Yes. Turn your mic
off. Yeah, give the previous list and see if it how it changed.
Existenz, number 5.
Okay.
Evil Dead, number 4.
All right.
Escape from New York, number 3.
Okay.
Number 2, Ex Machina.
And number one,
E.T.
E.T. was number
one. Just so we could tell the story.
Now, look at that. Had he been here.
Are you kidding me? That's bullshit.
He consistently fucks me on these games.
How did he not even remember that he did that?
he's full of Dayquil. He doesn't know what's happening.
Crazy.
Let me see that.
His sinuses are full.
Yeah, take a photo of that. Text it to him and write, "You motherfucker." On top
Can
of
I
it.
Say that? And then we're gonna get out of here because I can't take one more second of these two together. Garen, you recently have put out to the world that you want a podcast and you don't know what it would be. If I may, sir, the two of you doing a RuPaul, I know there's a million probably out there, but they don't have the two of you.
Yeah.
The two of you doing a
RuPaul's Drag Race.
RuPaul recap show. You've got the studio space. You've got the knowledge how to run the board.
I'm trying to get a show off the board
She
myself.
Wants a board off the show.
I want a yap on the mic.
Yeah.
Talk about whatever it is. Like, I've started a Twitch channel like so many times and I'm like, take this off. This is garbage. There was a point where I was streaming playing this game and I was doing it for like an hour before somebody told me, "Hey, you haven't switched the screen. It's just been on my face." As I'm like, "Oh god, okay, these goblins are gonna fuck me. God, what kind of spells do I? Oh, this guy's kind of cool." And just like straight on my face for an hour. I was like, "Delete this. This
I've
is awful."
I've been streaming for several years. And probably a month or so ago, I streamed for over an hour and my mic was off.
Right?
So don't feel bad. That 100% happens.
But I was playing Baldur's Gate for a while and I was like, damn, I really fucked up.
Yeah, you blew it.
I need a crew. I can't be in charge of any of the tech.
Yeah. I think this is a thing for you too. I love it.
You could also go back and start from the first season and like we just go do
yes.
a retrospective.
Because we're about to be, yes, we're in season 17 right now. About to be in All Stars 8. I started watching season 5 when Jinx Monsoon won because she was from Seattle.
Oh,
and we
no.
would go to the bar. I worked at Big Chicks. Did you ever, or tweet, Let's Eat? The place in Andersonville was a brunch spot in Chicago. Did you ever check that out?
Uh-uh.
Oh, you're
maybe
missing
a little after your time.
I've been
probably.
Gone for 30 years.
Well, it's still there. and you could check it out.
I'm not going to go there.
I don't know. That's fun.
I'm telling you right now, I'm not going there.
Well, anyway, you could go watch Drag Race there. And we'd be like watching the football game. It's like football's on to me. Yeah. We had a fantasy league of like, who do you think are the four girls who are going to make it to the end? Who do you think is going to like end up in the bottom two? If someone cries on the runway, that's like -3 points. If someone loses their wig in a lip sync, she's fucking out and she's going home.
Oh, she's gone.
Oh, yeah. We were serious about it. Well, it's good stuff.
This guy's on board. You two should talk off the air. I mean, that's
sounds like you got a connection to Trixie Mattel now. Maybe a special guest.
Hey.
Or you could get any guest. If you guys do a start at the beginning, there's many people make the, you know, the final four. I'm sure three of them will do it. You're in.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go. Let's do it. All right, Rashawn. I'm only mentioning this because it is important to be said. We have a running tally of how many Omni Pop guests have shit the bed, and the answer is zero. So well, once again, good. Another Omni Pop success story.
Home run, I would say.
What's that?
I would say a home run.
I would say a home run as well. Yeah. I'm going to tell Zach that, and Zach will. You know what? Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to write Zach.
Yeah,
Zach. Zach is the opposite of Bruce. Bruce doesn't shut the fuck up.
Yep.
And Zach is a man of few words. So I will email him. I go, hey, Rashawn was terrific. He will write back, cool. And it infuriates me.
Yeah.
Give me more than that.
You want a whole conversation.
I want to great. Oh, that's terrific. Glad it worked. Give me something more than cool. You're not so fucking busy with that kid's career. Why can't I think of this? Three names. The Asian
Rashawn
kid.
Nathan
Joel Kim Booster?
Scott. Joel Kim. You're not so busy with Joel Kim Booster that you can't put two words down.
I'm much better like in person, like on a text. I'm like, unless we who, what, where, why, how. I'm like, brrr.
You like it tight.
Yeah.
And I know that's what he's doing, but it still makes me mad.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad that you'll have nice things to say about
it'll
me.
Be nice. And also, when Bruce finally retires and Zach takes the company over, and I'm let go, along with Andy Kindler.
Of course.
The, you know, we're all the...
Put out to pasture.
We're all put out. It'll be an email. Out. One word. Oh, okay. That makes sense. I saw this coming. Yeah. 7 years ago. All right. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. You guys
absolute
are great.
Joy. You were delight.
Good times.
Did we all just get a message?
It was Garen texting Elliot about that ET thing.
No, that's funny.
Oh, well, gosh.
Yeah, sorry you didn't get that. I don't know why Garen chose right there to... I probably should signal my two friends that are talking.
In case he gets back before we get out of here.
You're the Mike Waltz of this group. Just don't know how to use signal.
Yeah.
A mess. True. You're a mess.
And he won't own it. So that'll be...
what are you talking about?
No, I don't know.
Who's my assistant?
I think they got themselves in there. You can't do that.
Literally.
Everything they tried, everything's a fucking lie.
Who was the person that was left out that should have been there?
Right.
Been there.
Exactly.
Reporter.
Who was the... What was it?
Right.
Goldberg. What was his first name? Something Goldberg?
Is it Jason?
Whatever his initials are, let's say it's AG. Like, who's the AG that
didn't get in?
Yeah. Like, hey, guys, what's going on with that Yemen thing? Are we bombing or what?
I guess we're not having that meeting after all.
Exactly.
I guess there's a group chat without me.
Very put out. That would be a funny SNL sketch, the guy who got left off.
Hey, maybe this Saturday.
The good news is that I'm sure the press secretary will give us all the true stuff that happened. She's
on the up and up.
She seems very on the up and up while she wears a cross around her neck. Go fuck off, you hypocrite. What a horrible human being. She may be worse than him. That's spouting the shit. And then
she's the kind of lady who allowed his type of shit to happen.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, you're so forgiving.
And cheers it on. They're just like loving it. They're loving it. They love calling this guy. He's a scum. He's like that. You know that they're the more wrong they are, the harder they have to attack the guy who didn't do anything.
He didn't do anything. He didn't. You know what he did?
He reported the story.
And he took himself off the thing.
Right. And he didn't reveal the stuff until they forced him to by denying it.
Idiots.
But like, he was doing everything right. And you thought, this guy's the scum of the earth. Are you kidding me?
Right.
No.
Maybe that's the guy that you go, you know what? Yeah, you're right. He shouldn't have been on there. Blah, blah, blah. So that he doesn't reveal that you're asshole. Well, we already know they're assholes.
Well, and like Steve, I was watching Stephen Colbert. They were like, you put him on the text of this guy you say is a scumbag. You added him. If he's such a scumbag, why did you add him?
Why did you have his number? What did you talk to him about before? Oh, I've never talked to him before. Why do you have his fucking number?
Then? Well, and they said that guy claimed, oh, yeah, I don't know him. I never remember him. Here, they immediately find a picture of them together at something four years ago. So, of course, he's met him.
There's a picture of me and Jason Sudeikis, too, so that doesn't mean anything.
Means you were in the same room together.
Damn right. We did an improvisation together. It was terrific.
Sick.
Ted Lasso season 4, guys.
Is it coming?
Yeah, they announced it.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Really?
I enjoy that show. You don't like it?
I'm out.
Why?
I think it... I think it was perfect for the time for season one and maybe half of season two, but I'm not, I'm good. I'm good.
I'll watch it till the bitter end, but I think they ended it and they should have stuck with, you know.
I think, yeah, it was over.
Oh, yeah, because the last season it seemed like we wrapped it all up.
Totally wrapped it up.
So is it a new team or is it the same?
No, he's coming back. Sudeikis is coming back.
Rumors is that he's going to be coaching the women's team, maybe?
Okay. I think maybe not everyone will be on it. Like, I don't know if Gino Temple's going to be involved.
Roy Trent. I mean, him.
Yeah.
You like him?
Yeah.
Very handsome.
He
likes the Muppets. So.
He executive produces that other show, Shrinking. I mean, he could do both of them, but like.
Mm-hmm. He was doing both at the time.
And he was on. No, I think Shrinking came after Ted Lasso ended, but. Or maybe they overlapped. I don't know. But yeah, he's in that now. He was on the second season of Shrinking, so.
Very talented young man. We wish him a lot of luck.
He's great.
Chiseled jaw. Sean, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Don't forget, go to the website and click on the Dashery, the T Public Dashery site for the if you want to buy a shirt or look at the designs and start following us on Blue Sky. We're giving away 4 T-shirts to people that follow Never Not Funny, new followers.
Yeah.
3 new followers, 1 grandfathered in, and then 1 person that's following at Jimmy Pardo on Blue Sky. You'll get a free T-shirt of your choosing from the Never Not Funny store on Dashery. So go check that out. All right, we're done. On behalf of the Pop Culture Reason, that guy Cockrell, Joseph, thank you for being here. Thank you for filling in.
My pleasure.
Great job, as always. Man. What do we do to get you here on a regular basis? What do we do? You live nearby?
I'll be here from time to time.
We love having you. You know that. We love when you're here. Matt Belknap and our new friend, Rashonda Dean Scott. I'm Jimmy Pardo. We'll see you next time on the podcast. AK-47, Gone, Not Forgotten.